Welcome to the Tompkins County Legislature for its regular meeting of April 15, 2017. The first order of business tonight is a public hearing. Before that, a couple of housekeeping things. Emergency exits are in the back of the room to my right and in the front of the room to my left. In case of a fire, please don't use the elevator. If you have electronic devices, please silence them. I'll read the announcement of the public hearing. The Tompkins County Legislature will hold a public hearing at 5:30 p.m. in legislature chambers concerning Local Law Number E of 2017, a local law repealing and replacing Local Law 9 of 2002 and imposing wireless communications surcharges. If someone would like to speak or anyone would like to speak to this, please step to the microphone.
I don't know if I could do this. I don't know what this is that you're
We're repealing our old surcharge law for the cell phones and adding a new surcharge law, which adds it to all cell phones. Same
is this a state law for owning a cell phone?
No, it's a state law authorizing counties to do this.
Oh, okay. If you don't mind me saying this, I'm not really talking to what you're... I have a real problem with the wireless world. And this is getting me into trouble all the time, you know. And so what I want to say is that the reason I'm speaking to this, even though I don't know much about what you're voting on, but what I would like to say is a lot of people don't have landlines anymore. I have a landline. I don't have a cell phone, but if I had one, it would not be my primary phone. So if it helps any, you know, people keep saying to me, I can't afford to have a landline and a cell phone, because I tell people, don't use the cell phone all the time, because it's going to give you brain cancer. It's going to do something to your body, which we don't know yet. We're just guinea pigs for companies that are making a lot of money. And for a community that espouses to, like, speaking up to power and speaking up to things that corporations are doing, this community certainly, you know, is not living up to their motto, you know. So all I'm trying to say is, you know, be conscientious of the fact that it's getting expensive for people to have both a landline and a cell phone. And I think a cell phone should be used very sparingly, like in emergencies or if you need to get in touch with someone that day or you're going out of town and you need it for protection. But to have it as a primary phone, I'm very concerned. So in that effect, to what you're voting on, I would tell the state, look, you know, we want it to be affordable for people to have a landline. And if they want a cell phone, fine, so they could have both. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak on the public hearing about the surcharges on cell phones? And remember, those charges are used for our database for 911. Not seeing anyone else, we'll close the public hearing. And we'll open our regular meeting. Would you please stand with me for the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. May we have the roll call of members, please?
Mr. Sigler?
I am here.
Mr. Stein? Mr. Burbank?
Here.
Ms. Chalk?
It's in Hawaiian tonight. Ma'ani.
Mr. Dennis?
Here.
Mr. John?
Here.
Ms. Kellis?
Here.
Ms. Kiefer?
Present.
Mr. Klein?
Here.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne will be arriving later this evening. Mr. McKenna?
Here.
Mr. Morey?
Here.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
Mr. Lane?
Here.
We have 12 members present.
That's quorum. Presentation of proclamations, petitions, communications, and notices.
Communications are on the desks.
Announcements of executive sessions. We will have an executive session tonight scheduled for 8 o'clock regarding a personnel matter and with a particular person. Let's go to privilege of the floor for the public. This is the opportunity that the public has to come to speak to us on any topic for up to 3 minutes. We ask that if you'd like to speak, that you complete one of the blue cards in the back of the room and pass it forward. There is a time clock to my left on the wall, which will count down the 3 minutes. If you're still speaking at the end of that time, there will be an audible ring, and we ask that you please conclude. First card I have is from Susan Mulder, and after that, Patrick Braga.
Susan Mulder, 11th District in the town of Ithaca. Having spoken about the blue card sign-in subject last month, I'm not going to repeat those comments, but I would like to add something. The horror that happened in Charlottesville, Virginia, this past weekend has three lessons for us. First, the extreme hatred and the excellent organizing skills of the white supremacists led many to come from long distances to participate in a completely surprise march on the university campus on Friday afternoon. They can do it again in protest of other Confederate statutes coming down or whatever issue they want. Secondly, they came without wearing white pointed hats and sheets, proudly showing their identities and what they think is their right to express hate and trigger violence that killed one counter-protester, Heather Heyer, and two state troopers. Third and worst, we have on film now, white men in black masks, violently and relentlessly beating a black man who was already on the ground with metal rods. So what does this have to do with Tompkins County and blue sign-in cards? Any racist individual who hates black people or Hispanics, gays, lesbians, transgendered people, Jews, Muslims, undocumented immigrants, can come here and learn the name and whereabouts of people who speak here, and then later retaliate with harassment or harm. I have to leave immediately to get to a meeting in another county, but I respectfully urge this legislature to pass the resolution to change the blue card tonight and to send a press release tonight or at the latest tomorrow saying what's been done and why, and show other counties throughout the state that Tompkins County cares about and tries to provide everyone with equality, justice, and protection. Thank you.
Patrick Braga, then Deborah Dawson.
Skeno, Patrick Yaso, Niodakia Nondage, Agwayenhe Ohonge, Akatwe Nontak, Sonho Ongwehonwe. Hi, my name is Patrick Braga. I recently graduated from Cornell, and I'm going into my 6th year living and working in the city of Ithaca. And I've been trying to learn the basics of Cayuga, the indigenous language of Ithaca. Our city was once home to the village of Neodakiat up at Fall Creek, not far from Lake Teohero, now known as Cayuga Lake. And over the course of the past 2 years, I've been learning an increasing amount about the Haudenosaunee or Iroquois and their culture and history. Having exposure to this living Aboriginal culture to Ithaca has made me feel more connected to this part of upstate New York. This process has been such a rewarding one that I find it only fitting to encourage others to have easy access to knowledge about the indigenous cultures not only of Ithaca, but of this region and the world beyond. Not to mention, of course, that popular misconceptions about indigeneity have serious, tangible effects on the rights of indigenous communities to practice their cultures autonomously and without undue interference from imported, superimposed ideas. I enthusiastically encourage the Tompkins County Legislature to vote in favor of recognizing Indigenous Peoples Day as a county holiday. We all ought to celebrate the contemporary and ancient cultures which have had tremendous impact on American history and society, and which so many who came after Christopher Columbus tried to eradicate. Thank you. Nyawe swagwego.
Thank you. Deborah Dawson, then Ann Corman.
Well, good evening, everyone. I've spoken so many times about these blue cards, it's kind of hard to find something new to say. When I first started looking at this issue, I talked to a couple of you who said, well, if somebody's really that concerned, they can use a false name. Well, that just seems wrong to me. Now, if you really need to know who these people are, why would you want them to give a fake name? And why would you want to put somebody in a situation where they would have to lie about who they are in order to talk to you? So once again, I'm back to wondering why we really need this information. Why do we really need someone's name? And I'm not sure that we need it so badly that we can't accommodate those few people who fear that they will lose their job, or their kids, or their lives, by giving their name in this forum. I know many of you feel that this is an absurd proposition to think that you could come speak to the legislature and not reveal your identity. But if it's that important to somebody, if it's that important that they talk to you here, and if they're that afraid to give their name, what does it cost you to accommodate them and make them feel comfortable? It's such a small thing for you and such a big thing for them. And again, Susan Malter stole my thunder on this one, but we had a really prime example of how dangerous it is in America today. We're supposed to be creating safe spaces for people. Let's do that. Let's let those few people who are really worried address you without giving their names. Thank you very much.
Ann Corman, then Faye Gugakis.
Thank you, Ann Corman, Town of Ulysses. And I want to speak to the resolution to recognize Indigenous Peoples Day. And since we are on sacred land, I think this is the least we can do. I was prepared more to talk about the blue cards, so I want to talk a little bit about that. The First Amendment for freedom of speech talks about prohibiting the freedom. The Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And then I found on the Tompkins County government website that one of the missions of the Tompkins County legislature and the Tompkins County government is to deliver programs that assist people who are facing economic hardship, are vulnerable to abuse or exploitation, or suffer from mental illness or developmental delays. I think that could be updated, by the way. But the counties are the state's front line of defense in protecting the public health and play a primary role in maintaining the public safety. So that is all on the county's website, and I'm going to repeat the last line. Counties are the state's front line in defense of protecting the public's health and play a primary role in maintaining the public safety. So people are coming up now. They've come up over and over again to tell you in different vulnerable populations that this is what they need to feel safe. So I'm hoping that this will pass unanimously because it's needed. Thank you.
Thank you. Faye Gugakis. And then Carolina Ostriogil.
Could that person go first? I need to gather my thoughts.
There's no objection here.
Thank you.
Hello, everybody. My name is Carolina Osorio Gil, or Carolina Osorio Gil, depending on your pronunciation abilities. I am a resident of the city of Ithaca, and I am the director of the Cultura Ithaca program, which shares Latinx, meaning Latina, Latino, Latin American culture in Ithaca and Tompkins County. And I'm saying that because I'm speaking on two matters. And the first is the recognition of Indigenous Peoples Day by the county. And I think that it's important, as you've heard, obviously we're on Cayuga territory right now. And so from that perspective, it's, I think, crucial to add the recognition of this holiday, particularly on the second Monday of October, which traditionally has represented in the United States the celebration of a person who was responsible for a lot of the colonization in the Western Hemisphere in the Americas. I was born in Colombia in South America, and which is also named for Christopher Columbus, actually. And I immigrated illegally to the United States when I was 4.5 years old. And as many other immigrants, whether legally or illegally, have come to the United States, we carry with us a mix in our own heritage that represents this conflict between the colonized and the colonizers. And so I wanted to offer that perspective to the recognition of Indigenous Peoples Day, that not only does it respect the land that we're on, the land that rightfully is not the land of the people who make the laws on it, as we here know them, but also recognizes a lot of the background and the history of a lot of the other people who are immigrants into this country, and also not even immigrants, but are treated as such. And so I hope that you will give serious consideration and pass this resolution unanimously. And I also, in the same vein, people like me, people who are undocumented, people of color, black people and brown people are under attack in this country, as has been elucidated by other speakers before me. And so I hope that you will consider our vulnerability in considering the blue cards as well, and being able to be anonymous in those. Thank you.
Thank you. The last card I have is Faye Gugakis. If there's any other cards, please hand them up.
Good evening, everyone. I want to thank you for last time, for the extra time. It was very helpful to me. It's very hard, having been here since 1982, having given so much to this community, having been to protest after protest, educating myself about the world and the people of the world, to have come to a point to be discriminated against. Because of the other things that have come up at last minute that's been brought to my attention, I want to speak to that. First of all, the blue cards. I speak before the city of Ithaca, and yes, it's very hard for me sometimes to say what I have to say, because I'm afraid somebody is going to do something to me all the time. And in fact, Green Star has. One of the most progressive entities in our community has banned me from their store. It has now been reduced from December 31st to September 24th, and I'm appealing that. It is very important to put your name in paper. I'm sorry, I disagree with the other speakers, because we don't know if a terrorist would come and speak before you. It is hard, yes, to put your name down. But I think it's important to have your name down. It's important to know who's speaking before you. Okay, we have reached a point in our community where if you disagree with someone, oh my God, you're conservative. I've been called conservative. I've been called a racist. I'm told I'm not liberal anymore. Do you know how offensive that is to me? Do you know how lonely my life has been? Being banned from a store that I have given so much, been a member for almost 30 years, and been lied about. Defamed, as one lawyer told me. And by the way, I don't have a lawyer, but I've been advised that it's defamation. Defamation of character, lying about me. I have a right to look at the videotapes, which they haven't provided to me. Okay? There's another side of Ithaca that I'm dealing with by myself. And it's very lonely out there. And I don't know what's happening. But you have the extreme right. You have, you have the pendulum in Ithaca going to the extreme left, which to me, the way it's affected me is extremely discriminatory and scary. Because we're talking about extremes. We're not talking about a middle ground. As a Libra that I am, which I never thought I'd be political when I was born, okay, the Libra sign seeks balance. And balance is very important. And the last thing I want to say, I do feel strongly that we should have an indigenous, whatever you're voting on, vote for it. I think we need to remember our indigenous community. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you to all the speakers. Excuse me. Privilege of the floor for municipal officials. Who do we have tonight? Duxon. Duxon Nguyen from the City Council, City of Ithaca.
Hello. So, not a ton. We passed waterfront zoning, which we've mentioned, George and I have mentioned multiple times before. That got passed by council. The Workforce Diversity Advisory Committee presented their CTAP diversity requirements toolkit. So CTAP is the city version of the tax abatement program, and we instituted some reporting requirements and requirements for training and hiring practices. And so they produced a work a kit to comply with that. At planning last week, you may have seen in the news that there's a lot of controversy over South Hill development, and so the city is contemplating potentially having a moratorium like the town of Ithaca has currently, while South Hill gets looked at again. And the only thing really is tomorrow at city administration, we too are considering an Indigenous Peoples Day ordinance. In our case, it's an ordinance that's going to amend city code to remove a reference to Columbus Day and replace it with a reference to Indigenous Peoples Day. But it's otherwise very similar in language to the one you're considering tonight. That's it.
Questions? Will Burbank.
Hi, Doug. It's good seeing you. Tell us about your T-shirt. Is that Yes in My Backyard or what?
Yes. This is... So there is a national YIMBY, Yes in My Backyard, movement in favor of building more housing. Ithaca is not the only municipality with a major housing shortage. So there's been an effort to fight against the NIMBYism, the Not in My Backyard folks who are reticent about having housing built near them. There's an annual YIMBY conference that I would love to go to sometime. And there is this increasing acknowledgement that we need to address it, you know, with more supply, and that includes getting over some of our misgivings about having more people near us.
Thank you.
Martha.
That was my question, too, but you've got the waterfalls, right? Specifically?
This was a custom design. So, yes, it has the Ithaca's Gorges Eye Waterfall.
Okay, so it's specifically Ithaca Yambika. Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Dooley.
It just flitted in and out. Just a second.
Want us to come back?
Yes, please.
Let's go to Mike Sigler.
I'll pass.
Thanks. Anna?
Just for the group here, if you could summarize a little bit about the waterfront zoning, what is the, I guess, scaffolding of what was proposed and what was approved for the zoning?
So it splits the waterfront study area into four subregions. Let's see, the Market District, Newman District, Cherry, and a fourth one. I can't remember off the top of my head now. The overarching, I don't remember details because my memory is terrible, but the overarching goal is to promote mixed use in every region, with the exception of the Cherry Street District, which will remain industrial. That was a disagreement on council on whether housing should be there, but the compromise is that south of, in that area, it'll remain industrial to preserve the existing businesses. Otherwise, we're improving increasing density. I think for most of the waterfront area, we're talking 53 feet, four stories.
Back to Dooley.
And that's in a nutshell. Sorry, I can't remember much more.
So I wanted to ask you about cable television. I live in the village of Cayuga Heights, which has had a running battle with the past and now present providers with respect to their willingness, which is really total unwillingness, to negotiate any changes in expired contracts. And the city is a much bigger player than my village. And I'm wondering what the city is doing, if anything, about the expired contracts with our local cable TV, and in particular, the threats to Pegasus.
Yeah, so I am on the Cable Access Oversight Committee for the city. So Rich DiPaolo is working with Ari Levine, the city attorney, to draft a new franchise agreement. I don't know where that stands right now. I know it's been kind of stalled for a while, and the city attorney's office is busy. Pegasus funding is always under threat, so the number of subscribers is consistently dropping here, as it is all over the country, as people cut the cord, so to speak. And so that, you know, that franchise fee that the percentage that Pegasus gets is declining every year. That said, the studio just got refurbished with HD production equipment, and so we're going to make a push to get people to use it, even if they don't care about broadcasting it on the Pegasus channels, which remain in standard definition. And so, by the way, we've also been fighting with Chris Mueller at Spectrum, demanding that that the Pegasus channels go to HD or be featured in their app. To which we have not gotten much traction on. But anyway, back to the studio. It's a good place to do any kind of video production, whether it's for YouTube or Pegasus, and so I'm going to try to publicize that some more.
So it's Rich DiPaolo who's the lead negotiator for you?
I'd say Ari is, but Rich is, of the town, is working with Ari, or trying to, when he can get his time.
Okay, thank you.
Rich?
In the West End development plan, is there part of the proposal to extend Old Teganic Boulevard to connect to Tabor Street with a...
Yes.
And what's the timetable for that piece?
I don't remember, to be honest. I think work starts next year. But, yes, Brainley Street Bridge Replacement Project is that overall part project.
Thank you. Carol?
Yeah, also on the rezoning of the zoning of the waterfront, is there anything in what the city has done that would encourage the building of affordable units within the mixed use, which I assume might also include housing, or is it just compete on its own with the market rate housing?
No, not specifically. But, you know, discussions of inclusionary or incentive zoning are continuing.
Okay. Well, I would encourage you to keep looking at that because, we know we need housing for everybody. Thank you for your T-shirt. I want to know where I can order one using that pattern. So you can write me offline about that unless other people are interested to know.
It's a one-off currently.
Good enough.
But I've gotten multiple requests for more, so
I
may try to
go into production.
Yeah.
And then is there anything new or how are things going with the fountain on the common?
The fountain's back on. It is currently barricaded by a bunch of planters.
Yes, I
think there's going to be a longer solution for a more attractive permanent sign and hopefully for the barricade as well.
How is it going in terms of people swimming or not swimming?
They're generally staying out of it,
safety.
Although this weekend I observed you can still access it from the taller side, and so I watched the other day, there's people watching, and someone lifted their baby on top of it and let them walk around. So it's imperfect, but, it's not easy to keep people out if they're determined.
Mike?
My question was more about Lou the hot dog guy. Will he be staying on the con?
If I have anything to say about it, yes.
Okay.
Same day I purchased a hot dog from him in solidarity.
Dustin, we thank you for coming.
Absolutely.
We appreciate
my pleasure.
It. I don't see any other municipal official. Am I correct? Let's go to privilege of the floor for legislators. Oh, good heavens, Glenn's got his hand up first.
Well,
Glenn.
This is the last meeting of August. We won't be together after this for August. But I just want to let everyone know for the last 100 years, Groton's been celebrating Groton Old Home Days. And that this year we're going to be celebrating August 24th. 25th and 26th. Our traditional photography and art show will be held on Saturday. This year, playtime amusement rides will be open all weekend. And there's also a new show called Shadows of Old West. And this show is going to have Old West reenactments. Our grand parade will be held at 6 o'clock on Saturday. And I understand there's going to be a birthday cake there? And I guess so, okay. This promise to be family fun for all, and hope to see everyone there. So thank you.
Thank you, Glenn. Anyone else? Martha Robertson.
I've got a couple of things. The eclipse is Monday, and, for those of us who aren't getting to South Carolina or Wyoming or something, the Science Center, I called today to say, well, they might know or might be selling glasses, right? So right away, the person says, well, if you're asking about eclipse glasses, so I didn't even have to ask, they don't have any, but they are going to have some on the science playground between 2 and 3 on Monday. That's kind of the main time when you can, when we'll be able to see the eclipse in Tompkins County. So at the Science Center between 2 and 3 on the playground, and they will have glasses to share, for people to pass around. So there's that. I also wanted to know, I'm actually glad that we have some resolutions that brought Ed Marks here today. He may not be so glad, but as everybody knows, this is the last month Ed will be here. He's retiring August 25th. And I want to make sure everybody knew that on August 23rd, Wednesday, is a community celebration and thank you for Ed at the Westie, which is 516 West State, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. So Wednesday, the 23rd, from 4:30 to 7:30, let's fill up the place. So thanks, Ed. And then just finally, I can't... I don't want to go on a long time about Charlottesville, but my brother lives there and his family, and I've been there many times. It is a wonderful town with a pedestrian mall like ours, but I'm sure their mall will never feel the same again. And I'll be going there in a couple weeks to visit. And just coming here on the radio, I heard I can't even say president. I heard Donald Trump basically taking back everything he said that somebody had scripted for him, that we thought maybe, okay, he finally decried the violence by the KKK and the white nationalists, and he's basically taking it back. So we just can't let up. We cannot allow that. It's this has got to change. So I don't want to go on a long time, but just wanted to make note of that.
Martha, when you were talking about the eclipse, certainly your comments about Charlottesville are right on. You're talking about the eclipse. All I could think of, wasn't there a song about someone going to Nova Scotia to see the total eclipse of the sun?
And I think of Carly Simon.
South Carolina. So.
Okay. Well done, Dan.
Let's see. I think I had Anna, then Will.
As first, I wanted to thank everyone who supported the Women's Swimming event. It was this past weekend. We had 285 women. Thank you very much. Faye was there as well with her, but you supported. And thank you, Barbara. Barbara did swim with me. It was a beautiful, beautiful day, but I wanted to just share continuously why it's so important to me. Everyone is going to die someday. And it is a very uncomfortable topic. It's true. It's true. I've heard rumor. And there's something very beautiful that hospice care does, which is to recognize that it can be for people a quiet, graceful process if there is support for dignity in one of the most important journeys of our lives. And the people who work there are profound and beautiful and humble and dedicated. And the most important thing is that they support people regardless of their ability to pay. That is profound. It is an amazing service that we have in our community. So they have raised $4.1 million through Women's Swimming so far since the inception. This was the 14th year. Every year now they raise $400,000, and it's an extremely beautiful event, and it's a public event. So for all women who are out there who want to join, let me know. For all men who want to support it, you can be a boater and help us across. So this does not exclude men, so I encourage everybody to get involved. I did want to speak briefly also, and thank you, Martha, for your words about Charlottesville. I don't think that we should be silent about it. And I do think that it's all right now if we take a little bit extra time to make sure that it's not left silent, or our response to it is not silence. I've been working for many years in the community around issues of equality. And one of the things that I'm seeing still is conflict for all humans, naturally for self-preservation, is difficult. And to be a minority in the room is felt, whether it be a person of color or someone from the LGBTQIA community or a woman in a room that's predominantly men. Most of us or all of us have had the experience where the majority in the room feels uncomfortable with our presence. And I can only speak for one of those groups, obviously, and the extent of the experience I am not going to profess at all to be able to relate to for people of color in the LGBTQIA community. But I think that it's really important that we are loud about our support for people who are being persecuted for, in every breath that we take, in every statement we make, that the people who are minority groups in this community and around the country feel that we have their back, that we're standing behind them. We are not speaking for them, but we accept being uncomfortable and having to say to people in the majority,
that they absolutely belong and that we want diversity and we want equality. And so I think that the way that we can confront this, every single person can, by allowing and choosing a little bit of discomfort in our own lives to walk a world hand in hand with people who aren't like you or me and make sure everyone feels welcome. So it's just something I've been feeling really powerfully, and sorry for taking so much time, but I think it's something that we can do in the face of this. That would be really powerful.
Well,
thank you.
Thank you, Mike. And thanks, Martha and Anna, for reflecting on Charlottesville. I, too, have been giving that a lot of thought. I'm sure we all have, and it leaves me speechless. It's hard to imagine that we have come to a state in America where we are, for some people, justify and are casual about marchers bearing torches in the name of Nazism, and that's somehow become okay. But I also wanted to talk about something much closer. A while back, I was traveling on West Hill, and I once again passed this monument that is on Du Bois Road, Du Bois and Crum's Corner, a big rock. And I got out of my car and wondered, what was this? And it turns out it was kind of hard to decipher, but it's something related to the Sullivan Expedition. And so I asked our county historian, Carol, came in, if she knew anything about it, and she had been meaning to look into it, and boy, to her credit, she sure did. And she wrote this really, really nice piece that was in Saturday's Journal. Thanks to Dooley and Dan for making me aware of it. Talking about this movement to celebrate essentially the removal of the Cayuga people, the Iroquois people, militarily. And there was a time when that was perceived as an unvarnished good. And there are monuments in our town that celebrate that. If you cycle around the lake, as I did a couple weeks ago, you'll find that in 1929, the state put up, I think, three or four of them, again, commemorating the Sullivan Expedition. We have a very different view of that today, and I'm not arguing that these monuments should disappear, but I think we really need to pay attention to them and try to learn from them why people felt that was good then and what we know really about them today and the larger story. So I think it's appropriate and very good that we will tonight be considering a resolution to create an Indigenous Peoples Day here in Tompkins County. And I hope that we will continue to give this larger issue a lot of thought. Thank you.
Thank you, Will. Anyone else? Dooley?
Well, I'm sure that there are very few of you who know that I have a connection with Guam. My eighth grade high school was spent on Guam. I'm from a military family. And it was very hard for me to listen to the articulated threats that the Chamorro people there face. The natives have coexisted with our military bases for a long time now. And I'm relieved that North Korea seems to have recognized that saber rattling against Guam at the moment is not a productive activity.
Thank you. Peter, then Carol.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about something that I learned about today that I found absolutely terrifying. And it was in the New York Times today in their political writings. It reminded me. I don't know if you people follow old movies, but there was a time between World War I and World War II when German movies took on this picture of what's going to happen in the future, where the people got turned into servants and so on and so forth. Very frightening movies. They're really quite well good, and I recommend people seeing them if they haven't. But I read something in the New York Times that absolutely terrified me. And the argument was made that there are certain centers of power in the United States which have essentially unlimited power to shape the way the country sees things. Now, if that's not terrifying, I don't know what is. And one of them is called Google, and the other is called, not Uber, what is it? Google and Facebook, that was it. And that Google and Facebook have a monopoly, a one-man monopoly about how people see the world and how people see the things that ought to be done in this particular world. And that the power that these people have is basically undefined. Now, my wife was pleased to tell me that actually these two people are on our side, okay? But that may be, but it's not enough. And in this article in the New York Times, there was an argument that we have to really stop and think of that and think about what is going to be the effect of one person holding so much power on what is believed to be the truth. Okay? So I found that pretty scary. And I'd like to talk about something else. I hope this isn't considered bad taste. But I would like to give my view of what happened in Virginia this term. It's obviously it's terrible, no question about that. We've had things like this in our past a lot of times that would much worse things happen. Many more people were killed and so forth. It's not to justify these things, but there is this sense of people have a freedom in the United States to say what they want. They don't have the freedom to shoot what they want or run over those who we want or hit them over the head. But they do have an opportunity to say racist things, to say racist things and nasty things and dirty things. And, I grew up in a world where I was known as that Jew boy. And I understand the pain that one can have in having listened to that. But I survived that okay. But to me, I'm not scared about Trump anymore. I used to be a lot more scared than I am now. I honestly believe that the institutions that we have are very strong. And that the general beliefs that we have of what's right and what's wrong are generally shared to a certain degree by people in all of the parties. I mean, maybe, you know, by that I mean the Republican and the Democratic parties. And I was really scared when Trump became president that we were going to go into something like the Third Reich or something like that. But it hasn't worked out that way. I mean, the people have, the Republicans and the Democrats, you find now that they are concerned about what it's supposed to be, how our government is supposed to be, and that they're working towards trying to do something about it. And he's tried like hell, but he could not pass the bill on, help me.
The Obamacare.
He could not push it through. That was the singular thing he wanted, and he attacked the people of his own party that was doing it, and they stood fast, and now it's not going to happen. And I take a great deal of... I am much reassured by that experience. So I believe that our basic structure will last even if Trump gets to run for president again. So that's all I wanted to say.
Carol?
Thank you, Mike. I want to say just add something to the information about the eclipse and eclipse viewing. The Tompkins County Public Library is doing something all afternoon right here in DeWitt Park, at which they will also have some glasses available. I don't know whether they're planning to have enough for everybody, but there's a grant from, I think, the National Science Foundation or a group of people. So they will have a lot of glasses there. And I have read also that some of the big chain drugstores and tchotchkes stores, the Walmarts and Kmarts and some of those big stores do have glasses available or did. And they're very cheap. They're, I don't know, $2 for a 10-pack.
Carol, I want you to know that I saw in the news that there's a lot of glasses that are being sold that are unsafe. I'm sorry to intervene.
Yes, please,
they should
please
be certified glasses, yes. You should look up whether you have the right glasses. But if you are worried about that, then please do come and see what the Science Center and the library have, because I'm sure that they have made sure that their glasses are safe. If you don't have glasses, the way to look at the eclipse is through a pinhole or some other way of looking at what's on the ground. Regarding what's going on in the world today, I've come to believe that it is time for the U.S. to ban hate speech. There are other countries in the world that do that. People in Canada, I was watching comments go by on my Twitter feed from people in Canada saying, isn't that illegal to even come out? They couldn't imagine that having a rally and openly espousing the kinds of things that was proposed at that rally would be legal, because in Canada it isn't. And there are other countries around the world. Obviously, it's easier said than done. There's a lot of, it would take a national discussion, probably a constitutional amendment. Case law would have to be developed about, what constitutes hate speech and what doesn't. It's not a simple matter, but it has been done, and it does work better other places than we have are having it work today and for most of all of our history. As a nation, I introduced my language of tonight was Hawaiian, I said, but that's really simplifying a very complex topic. There's not one Hawaiian language. There are different islands, and it's probably Polynesian. So I oversimplified. It's the kind of thing we need to learn and recognize, that we are a nation of many, many, many cultures and peoples, and we need to recognize that we are a nation founded on the principle that everybody is welcome. I read an interesting article about the Kerner Report. Those of us old enough to remember what went on in the United States in the 1960s, with riots in many parts of the country among people who felt that their voices had not been heard. There was a big study done by Congress about why did this happen? Why now? And why are there riots happening? Why are people saying our voices aren't heard and we are not having our needs met? And one of the big conclusions of the Kerner Report, I had forgotten this or not really known it at the age that I was at the time, although I do remember hearing a lot about the Kerner Report in the news, but one of the conclusions was that the assumptions inherent in the ways that the press discussed the news and what was going on for people or didn't discuss, the topics they discussed or didn't discuss, and the language that was used in the articles made a big difference to people feeling that their voices were not heard that their needs and communities were not being taken into account, that there were some people in the country who had a stronger voice and who received services and others who didn't. And there were changes recommended back then, and we haven't instituted enough of them. I will just tie this to what's going on here, is that with the blue cards, to bring it down to the kind of actions we can take. People are telling us that they have a reality, that their reality is different every day than the ones that some of us live. And far be it from me to say, I don't want to recognize your reality. That's exactly what we need to do. It's what the Kerner Commission said back in the 1960s we need to do. It's what people have talked about, through ages in this country, and it's something we're talking about more now. And there is something that we can do here locally to say, yes, your reality, we have assumptions that it should be easy to put your name down, but maybe it's not for you. Maybe it is for me, but it's not for you, and it's something that we could recognize. I trust my peers, my colleagues here around the table, to judge what people come and talk to us about based on the information they tell us about themselves. So if somebody chooses not to give us information, we can judge what they say accordingly as we vote. But if somebody comes to us with a valid reason, telling us, I don't feel comfortable, we can take that into account and should. So I will just say that. And then I will lastly say that my family is in town. I arrived last night at 11 o'clock at night, and we were in here today. All we had energy to do today was come down to the farmer's market and have lunch. And we stopped in at the legislature because they like to see where Grandma works. So those of you who met the then 18-month-old the first time she visited and was old enough to come in and introduce herself to everybody, she's now going to be going to kindergarten in the fall. And she likes to come in and pretend to have a meeting. And now the 2-year-old can participate too. So we sat around the table. Kathy, thank you for turning the microphones on. And we voted on whether to have apples or bananas. The vote, I lost. The vote was for apples. I wanted a banana. And then as whether we were going to keep all the apples for ourselves, if we had a big bushel of apples, or whether we were going to give them out to other people. And it took some convincing, but we decided we're going to give them out to other people. And, I went out from that, and then I saw a picture online of somebody dressing their kid in a Ku Klux Klan outfit at a year old. What we teach our children makes a big difference. I will just conclude on a lighter note by saying that we left here and bought local peaches. And boy, that is what we should vote for, because make sure to eat the last of the local peaches. They are absolutely delicious. Thank you.
I just wondered how long the debate was on that.
Not very long.
I have Jim, I have Rich, I have Mike, and I have Martha for a second shot. Jim?
I'm a little old, but did I just hear one of my colleagues say that you were going to ban free speech?
Yeah. Hate speech.
I thought I heard
hate
that.
Hate speech.
And I guess my concern is, I think I know what you meant, but my concern is, who's in power when you do that? And, I think we lived through that once where, well, you don't agree with me, so I will figure out something dastardly to happen to you. And I mean, that's stunning to hear a county legislator say that. Even as I, and I'm not certain why that anyone would say that. it's just stunningly to me, stunning to me to hear someone say in this room that they would that we've worn out the practice of free speech. It's almost like the right wing and the left wing converges to, and they end up saying the same thing. And that's stunning to me.
Rich?
Thank you, Mike. I did want to say thank you to my colleagues for sharing information about the eclipse. I was in the dark about all that. Sorry. Peter, I wanted to just respond to your comments. We certainly do have strong institutions, and it's a time where we need strong institutions. I would like to be as optimistic, and I think at this point we have some uncertainty. It's unfortunate that our institutions need to be tested, but they are under test right now. And I'd feel much better if we had a leader, a president, who could speak in a consistent, clear, and morally sound way about just heinous behavior. And we don't have that. And we won't have that for some time to come. So, yes, we will test our institutions. And hopefully they will hold up.
Mike Sigler.
I'll be quick. So I went to both the vigils downtown, and a lot of people are hurting. And I just wanted to say, you know, it may seem, I think, a lot of times like the country's falling apart. And actually, I don't see it that way. And I know it's easy to look at the news and say, God, the whole world's just falling apart. And I think people sometimes lose perspective of where we came from. Such as, like, in 1930s, the Klan had 1 million members. Can you imagine that? 1 million people all saying this one thing. I find that remarkable. And the progress we've made from then to now, and that, frankly, the Ku Klux Klan, when people were talking about it during the election, I didn't really know what they were talking about. There's 5,000 guys, some yahoos, I don't even know where they live, who... This is easy. This is low-hanging fruit for me. I mean, KKK, yeah, I don't even know what you're talking about. I thought that was to the dustbin of history. Same thing with Nazism. But clearly it is not. But I just wanted to assure people that, you know, this is not some kind of resurgence, I think, that is being portrayed. That most people that you meet are just along the same lines as you. And I even looked at this group protesting. The fact that the people that make tiki torches had a tweet today about how they're not associated with this protest, I was like, wow. I mean, we have really crossed a barrier here. Because you've got a bunch of guys in golf shirts carrying tiki torches to protest something. And I find that remarkable that all this has branched from that. And I'm not saying that we don't need to fight that. You do. And every day we have to be aware of it. But I've got to tell you, the people in this room, I think, are doing more to fight that than the people on the protest line. And I'm not going to stroke your egos, but this is kind of where it begins. When I come in here and we're talking about the jail, and we do a jail study, and we've got a bunch of people here saying there are too many people in prison. Granted, the jail and the prison are different, and we can get to that debate later. However, they're not incorrect. I mean, we know this, that there is a prison culture now. Why are some of the schools still failing in this country? I mean, this is the work that's hard. And I can say, you know, this is said a lot, that kids aren't born racist. Man, I see that. I mean, I take my kid around. She doesn't know. She doesn't know any of that because she just doesn't grow up with it. So I look where these kids are like that, and I don't know, where are we going wrong? And maybe that's, even the teacher for this guy, I mean, who's for this guy that plowed into people in a car?
President.
And I mean, it's just ridiculous. And the teacher who taught him said, I don't understand. I don't understand where I went wrong. I don't know what I could have done to make that different. So, I mean, I understand protest is necessary. I get it. You know, you have to make your voice heard. I do think, though, that your voice can be heard better by getting involved in some of these things that are going to actually change things. And I know a lot of people in this room do that. I know a lot of people that are in this room that aren't legislators do that. So just putting that out there for some food for thought. And I'm going to leave you with the idea that I used to listen to a lot of Howard Stern. And he used to have KKK guy on every week or every couple weeks. And people would say to him, how do you have this guy on? You know, Howard Stern, you're a Jewish man. How do you have this guy on? He's just promoting hate. And Howard Stern would say, are you listening to the same guy I'm listening to? Because this guy, he comes off as a lunatic. And to be honest, everybody I knew that listened to him said, yeah, I mean, the guy is out to lunch. I mean, what better way to drive people from an ideology than for them to be ridiculous? So, again, horrific scene down there, though. And, I mean, keep up the good fight against these kind of ideologies. Thanks.
We need to get moved on here. We have some people who would like to speak a second time. Let's try to keep it to a minute. Martha?
Thank you. Peter, I agree with Rich. I would like to be as optimistic, but listen, the Affordable Care Act, the repeal, only failed because of a huge outcry from so many people. And while that specific thing failed for the time being, and who knows what's going to happen next, other things are going on, are being done by this administration, voting rights being attacked. Don't shake your head. For example, this group called Life After Hate, a nonprofit founded by people who have escaped these racist groups, right-wing groups, and are doing counseling to try to bring other people out and try to actually change people one at a time. Trump defunded that group. They had gotten grants from the Obama administration. We have to do both and, Mike. We have to be on the streets. We have to be visible. We have to be loud and insistent, and we have to do the hard, detailed work of passing an indigenous rights resolution and making sure we're doing everything that we can in this county. But this is no time to be complacent, not at all.
1 minute, Peter.
Martha, I don't have a complacent bone in my body. I don't know how you could misunderstand what I was saying. I was not saying that the whole thing is over. Of course it's not over. I mean, I'm desperately worried that they're going to get another term. And I'm not saying you don't have to fight it. I'm just saying that I take a great deal of pleasure in my belief that the institutions of our country are strong. And for a while, I was a little bit scared that they weren't, that this man owned the Republican Party, but he didn't. There are decent people in the Republican Party also. And I believe that it's just as bad to think that everyone in the Republican Party is stupid and bad as it is to say the other way around, okay? And I think that's very bad for our country if we start thinking that way. So that's what I wanted to answer to you. And I wanted to answer to Carol about the Second Amendment, First Amendment. I believe it's almost like a from God that these things were given out, that Thomas Jefferson was just an unbelievable human being. I don't think there was ever a government before the United States of America that had anything like that amendment, okay? That amendment is the core. Congress shall make no law for interfering with the right of people to talk, speak, and give a complaint of their grievances. I mean, that's a monumental thing. There was nothing like it in Greece. There was nothing like it in Rome. There was nothing like it in Europe or so forth. That man was a genius, and I cannot believe that that is ever going to be changed and ever will be changed, because I would think people that start to diddle with it and say, well, we can change it a little bit like this, the rest of them, I would hope, would go wild and say, we lived with it this long, it works very well, and it still is going to be the basis of our nation. So I just wanted to say that.
Anna, 1 minute.
I would imagine that it's very tricky for people who are in the same political party as these extremists wanting to distance. I think to say that they are yahoos that are extremists and don't really represent, and that they are not going to take over and we're not regressing, in my mind is missing the point that it's like a tip of an iceberg that represents an entire system of policies and practices and culture and microaggressions and belief systems internally for people that have kept this country in a state of inequality. So while this might be an extreme outpouring, to say that it is a minority is to disregard an entire infrastructure that silences people who are in the quote-unquote minority groups. And so I encourage and ask all of us to recognize that this is a representation of something systemic, and I want us to have the courage to address that and not discredit it, because the last thing that's the most important is that where we in our safe little box might feel that it's minor, it would be a tremendous disservice to discredit the emotional impact on people who already feel unrepresented, silenced, and unsafe. The visceral and emotional impact is very different. And that is, I think, what we need to honor here. That's all I'll say.
Carol, 1 minute,
yep,
please.
Yep. I just want to make it super clear that I do not want to be quoted as having said anything about banning freedom of speech, that what I said was hate speech, and I cited Canada. Jim, I've sent you, and other people would like, I will send you the Canadian criminal code,
section 319. No, I really don't need that.
And there's a very big difference between protecting freedom of speech and protecting the right to incite or willfully promote hatred. Those are two very different things. And I cited Canada, but the part of the world that experienced the worst of what happens in the extension of hate speech, the countries that I just, in a very quick search, turned up that have now banned hate speech include Canada and France, Germany, Poland, Hungary, and Austria. And that's as far as I got in my little search here. But this is a major part of the world that has experienced what members of my family have experienced, which is being shoveled into ovens. So, you know, this is a discussion worth having. Where do we draw the line? We draw the line. We can't yell fire in a crowded theater. There's always a line that is drawn and assumptions that are made. And let's not tell each other we shouldn't be talking about something or make accusations if we have differences of opinion. Thank you.
I'll allow myself 45 seconds. I was proud of our community last Sunday night when they had the two rallies. Very respectful, very, very important that people came together and talked about it. I attended the first one. I wasn't able to attend the second one. And at the first one, when I arrived, there was a communication and reading of the not the Declaration of Independence, but the Gettysburg Address, talking about Lincoln's comments during a civil war that killed hundreds of thousands of people. I think that was very important. It was important that we came together. This isn't the first time there have been jackbooted thugs in the streets of America, and it won't be the last. They want to be out there. They want to have the reaction that they get, sadly. But it's important that we say it's not appropriate and we don't agree with it. Unfortunately, those folks, those white young men, most of them, have grown up in a society that hasn't paid much attention to them. We know when there are basic problems, whether it's crime, whether it's drugs, you have to get in and talk to the young people from preschool on up. That's the only way you're going to make changes. And as long as we ignore the fact that poverty, often white poverty, is there and we're not addressing these issues to them, they'll continue to bring forward generations that will be the Timothy McVeighs of this world and blow up the Oklahoma federal building. Not all of them, but there will be some now and then. And we have to be very, very careful. But we have to pay attention to them, too, and not just assume that they're bad people because they were part of the country and that they are the bad ones and we are the good ones. We have to look at the young people. Yes, Leslie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not even going to comment on some of the other things you all have said, most of what I want to say. I don't know if prior to me arriving, any one of you had the opportunity to remember Winston Perez Ventura, the young colonel student who died tragically in a gorge. I want to take this opportunity in his name, one, to first publicly send our condolences to his family. Winston's acceptance to Cornell and just his family's reaction went viral. It was such a place of pride for someone who had grown up in a community and in some respects a little bit of a tough life. And to come, and this is the beginning and the end of it for him. So I wanted to just mention his name. And secondly, remind folks as we wind down the summer, we keep religiously reminding people about the dangers of swimming in the gorges. Please stay within the areas that are marked for clear for swimming or for walking. It is just so dangerous. And if anything, Winston's death and life should be a reminder that we ought to be careful. They're beautiful, just awesome, but we really should be reminded to be careful. I just wanted to share that. The rest of everything else y'all are talking about is just moving me to tears, and I am in a bad shape with it, so I'm not going to comment.
Thank you. We probably should move some of the resolutions up. Martha, you have some planning resolutions, I think.
Yes. Thanks, Mike. So a couple on the consent agenda and then the not
consent agenda first, then?
Are you sure? Yeah. That'll take care of a few.
Any resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda? Let's do the consent agenda. I'm sorry.
Wasn't there one to be added, Martha?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Martha, do you have Resolution S
yes.
to be added?
I'm sorry. Too many papers. In support of the development of the Cougar Solar Project in the town of Lansing. So I move to get that on the agenda.
Is there a second to add that to the agenda duly? Any objection? All in favor, please raise your hand. Those opposed, that's added.
Thank you. Thanks, Julie.
All right, let's do the consent agenda. Second, I want to get the appointments. Yes, I have out of the Government Operations Committee from the Advisory Board to the Advisory Boards, the Public Information Advisory Board, Patricia Poist, and to the Library Board of Trustees, Nina Schultz. Also on the consent agenda are resolutions. If you want them off, just say so. Resolution A,
off.
Resolution A is off. Resolution B, award of bid collection of recyclable materials, Department of Recycling and Materials Management. That's ID 7204. Resolution C, award of contract, pavement maintenance and painting at the Catomkins Regional Airport, ID 7201. Resolution D, authorization to enter into a five-year lease agreement with Irish LLC for the Tompkins County Office of Human Rights. That's the lease, ID 7191. For the Government Operations Committee, Resolution E, authorization to accept a grant from the New York State Archives, County Clerk ID, to count for the County Clerk, ID 7157. Out of Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee, Resolution F, authorizing Federal Transit Administration 2017 Section 5339 grant application for Tompkins Consolidated Area Transit, Inc., that's ID 7216. And finally, Resolution G, authorization of New York State Department of Transportation, Master Mass Transportation, Capital Project Agreement, Tompkins County and Tompkins Consolidated Area Transit, Inc. That's ID 7215. Here's a motion on the consent agenda. Carol, seconded by Leslin. All in favor of the consent agenda, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. So the only one that came off was A, out of facilities and infrastructure. Go ahead, Martha.
All right. Thanks very much, Mike. We've got, I'll just do the resolution. So resolution O, packet page 97, document 7188, budget adjustment and appropriation of unspent funds from 2016 and prior years to various accounts of departments that report to the Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee. And I so move.
Is there a second? Seconded by Dooley.
This is our rollover.
Discussion. Ready to vote? Short form roll call.
Mr. Sigler?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes.
Are there any no's? That's unanimous.
Okay. And Resolution P, document 7178. Appropriation from Contingent Fund, Terminal Pay, Employment Training Director, Office of Employment and Training. I so move.
Is there a second? Seconded by Leslin again. Is that short form? That's also a short form roll call.
Mr. Sigler?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes.
Any no's? That's also unanimous.
And should I do the, thank you, and should I do this, the Cuba Solar now?
That, yes.
Okay. So you have a version in your packet, in your red folders, but there were some slight modifications in committee. We met at 5 o'clock today and passed this out of committee with a couple of changes. So if I can go through those. The third whereas, instead of saying Cuba Solar, whereas Cuba Operating Company has created Cayuga Solar, which is proposing the installation of 18 megawatts of solar panels, the largest in upstate New York. So that's, and then in the next, so that's just making it clear it's the Cuga Operating Company and then Cuga, where Cuga Solar comes from.
I don't think I got a second yet.
Oh, I thought you did. Okay.
Okay. Glenn?
Thanks. And then in the next whereas, instead of Cuga Power Plant, it should be Cuga Solar. And then the last whereas, it is imperative to continue instead of that we continue.
So you're moving it with those.
With the committee passed those changes.
Wait, can you read those last two, the shorter ones, again?
The fourth, whereas, the middle line, it says the Cuga power plant. It should say Cuga Solar has site control. And the last, whereas, it should say it is imperative to continue to aggressively make the transition instead of that we continue.
To continue.
It is imperative to continue to aggressively make the transition.
Can I ask about one of them?
Go ahead, Carol.
The change in the fourth whereas, you just recognized in the third whereas that Cayuga Operating Company has created Cayuga Solar, and then you're saying then you're changing Cayuga, power plant to Cayuga Solar, but one is owned by the other, right?
Yes.
So why aren't we saying
actually, Mike, are
operating
we sure? We weren't
company.
Sure it's owned by. It's a subsidiary. We're not sure the corporate structure. If you need me, I don't think you need to do that. But the point is, Cuga Solar is putting in the panels. They have site control. I mean, there's no issue there. They're not doing a Dryden, shall we say.
Are there separate boards for Cayuga Solar and Cayuga Operating Company?
You know, Carol, I don't know. Why don't you vote against it if you can't? Mike, you got any more information on that?
Cayuga Operating Company is they were the company that ran the power plant. Now they are going into solar. They've started a new company, Cayuga Solar. The nice things are they already have an interconnect agreement, which is part of the problem with getting some large-scale things going is that NYSEG basically has to say, yeah, sure, you can hop on our grid. The other problem is the site control. They don't have to negotiate with anybody for the land because they already have the land. They're putting it on their own property.
So here's the question that I have about that, is that if Cayuga Operating Company has created a separate company and spun it off and has given responsibility and control of the site, but we know that there's toxic ash, the ash pit still has toxicity that we're concerned about and following and that they have to track. Let me finish the question. What happens then if has Cayuga Operating Company created an entity that doesn't itself have any more assets than the solar panels? What happens in terms of responsibility should we find later that the toxicity is a problem for the people nearby or the lake?
The operating company they have money in place for the cleanup. It's monitored every year.
This doesn't change who owns the land. Site control just means they have permission to put the solar there. This doesn't say that the land is being sold to Cuga Solar. Nothing changes. The chain of command, the chain of responsibility for the ash pile.
Wholly owned subsidiary.
Is no different.
Well, can we say instead of site control, can we say has permission to, authority to place solar panels?
I'd like to just vote on this. I mean, this is...
I would like to make that amendment.
What's your amendment?
And then if I get a second, I will speak for it, whereas Cayuga Solar has authority to place solar panels on this site.
Is there a second? I've seen a second, Carol.
Okay. I would like to be able to vote for this. I do support the placement of solar panels here. I just don't want us to be under any illusions that solar panels in any way eliminates the potential toxicity problems that are under where the solar panels, some of these solar panels are going to be put, and that 18 megawatts of solar panels will not will not counterbalance should that plant stay open and operating with fossil fuels at 300 and some odd megawatts, and we've got 18 megawatts of solar, that we just not have illusions here that counterbalances, that these are separate matters. We don't need to say that here. I need to say that here in order to vote for it.
Anna?
I am going to support this. I don't want to argue that, so I just want to put that out because it's solar and we're moving in a direction. It has been a big concern of mine, and I'm going to second what Carol is saying, that it is over a coal ash field, and there's been some really great conversations, and it might be worth bringing in some people from the Environmental Management Council that used some data, and I think it was from Cornell, that was showing the runoff into the lake consistently. And I personally, all I would just add is that I would love to see that continue to be tracked. It would be awesome if we could find some way to make that shore up that leak from, I mean, it's not like it's like a faucet leak, I recognize. What I would hate to see happen is cover up a pile of smelly something we don't want to look at with pretty flowers. You know, sometimes that happens. I love the pretty flowers, though. So I'm just going to acknowledge that. I do feel like we're going one step in the right direction. I just really hope that it doesn't mask and then we forget about the coal ash pile underneath, which is very problematic.
Martha, then Rich, and then can we get to a vote?
Right. People shouldn't believe everything they read on email. I will say that the DEC is tracking that, as Mike said. The PDEC has had two very, very long presentations about this issue. In fact, one whole meeting about it a year or two ago. This doesn't say anything about the power plant. Doesn't say anything about the ash pile. It says we support the solar that sits on top. And, I think we have a lot of business here tonight. And I really think if you don't like what's here, then have your speech included for the record in the minutes and vote against it.
Rich?
Jonathan, correct me if I misspeak, but I think the federal legislation is CERCLA for the environmental cleanup, and it attaches liability to anybody in the chain of title, including the lessee. And this would seem to be putting a substantial asset on the property related to a lessee. So it would really only improve the position of paying for any cleanup, I would think. I don't think we're doing anything to reduce the ability to fund a cleanup by allowing this solar panel array to be placed there. This is a good thing, and I support it.
John?
I would agree that it doesn't do anything that would harm a cleanup. Whether a cleanup would be covered by CERCLA or not is a different issue. But it certainly doesn't harm the ability. It could only help, but it's unlikely to make much difference one way or the other.
Julie?
I just realized that I don't know where these panels are proposed to be located. And listening to what Carol was asking made me wonder, are they actually going to be placed over where the ash pile is?
Yes, some of them. Not most.
If some of them are actually going to be placed there, that could really make it difficult to remediate.
They can be taken away. They can be taken off.
Okay.
I'm sorry that we didn't have a plan to look at.
Can we get to a vote on the resolution? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Those opposed.
Well, I feel very strange, but I have enough of a question now. I'm opposed.
I have one opposed. All right. Go ahead.
That's my last resolution.
All right.
So thank you very much. And letting Ed go if he wants.
Public safety.
And Greg is here.
He might be here for those resolutions as well.
Greg, are you here for another resolution?
No. This is for capital.
Capital, okay. Lee is here, so that'd be public safety?
Yes, ma'am.
Rich?
Thank you. I would move Resolution H, adoption of local law number blank of 2017, a local law repealing and replacing local law number 9 of 2002 and imposing wireless communication surcharges. And if, Lee, if you want to...
I have a second from Glenn.
I'd ask if Lee Shurtleff could step forward in case there are any questions.
Certainly. Are there questions? Anyone want to speak on this one? This is the one we had the public hearing on at just prior to the start of this meeting. Martha?
Well, if I could just speak to it. What this local law would be doing is adding a surcharge on prepaid phones. Right now, landlines are paying for 911 service. They pay $1 a phone per month. And if you have a contract on a cell phone, you're paying 30 cents a month. And prepaid phones, the ones where you pay by the month, aren't paying anything. So what New York State has done is they said, we're going to repeal your authorization to charge the 30 cents against contract cell phones unless you pass a new local law that allows you to do a charge on the contract phones and the prepaid phones. So this would not totally fund 911, but would help in funding it from all sources of people who are using the phone system and using 911. Is that... Thank you, Lee.
I think Dooley was next, then Martha.
I would like to propose a slight rewording in the third, whereas I don't have line numbers on what I have. Beginning at the end of the second line, under authority of tax law section 186G, if it desires to continue the postpaid surcharge without interruption and also require the same surcharge on prepaid wireless devices.
I'm sorry, which whereas are you on?
The third whereas.
Can you write folder?
There are changes that do...
And I apologize, Dooley. I had intended to move your version, the yellow version with the changes in it.
So that's what you're moving, Rich?
Yes, Mike, I apologize.
Is that clear to everyone? You have it in your red folders. Any objection? All right. Then let's go to Martha.
Yeah, just to reiterate, if I understand correctly, if we don't do this, we would give up all of the charges, all of the cell phone fees. It's all or nothing, right?
That is correct, Martha.
According to state law.
Wireless surcharge. It doesn't affect the landline, but we would give up the wireless at $250,000, roughly.
Okay, so I have heard people say this is an unfair charge on that people who have less of lower income get the prepaid ones, and this is unfairly tagging them. Unfortunately, this is an all or nothing deal, and if we're prepared to somehow find another $250,000 to pay for our emergency dispatch, center, then that's what this would mean if we did not support this.
Anna?
Just out of curiosity, what is the total budget for emergency dispatch, the cost?
The overall budget for the department is about $3 million. Salaries and benefits for employees are maybe in the $2 million range. The cost of the systems, which is what this directly goes towards, maintenance on your radio, telephone systems, electricity, telephone service charges, and so on, all that operational expense is a little over $1 million. The surcharge offsets about half of that,
right? So
including the landlines.
And the reason why I asked is, and I just wanted to, I guess, make that public, I think that that's really important, that this is a fee for usage. Our community uses something. It benefits all of us, and it pays for only a small portion of a really important service. So, and the fact that it is all or nothing, you put those two together, and it just I can't imagine not supporting it. My understanding is that it's 30 cents per month, correct?
30 cents per month on the cellular phones, and then 30 cents on every sale of a prepaid device.
Okay, so at the max, I might pay 60 cents the first month, and then 30 cents from then on. By the phone, I get 60 cents tax, and then the 30 cent or fee, right?
Probably, because the state is getting a portion of that as well. We're matching what they're receiving.
So it puts it in perspective. So thank you.
Leslin?
Thank you. Anna went where I was going. And thank you, Martha, for mentioning people who are of lesser means who, you know, having a prepaid phone is what you have to rely on. Can I ask one more time for a very concise explanation of why we have to do this and what we would lose if we don't do it for the very people I'm talking about so they understand?
Lee?
Why do we have to do this? We started, and I'll try to be concise, we started with a proposal to extend a surcharge to prepaid devices. When the state legislature passed the budget in April, they revoked our authority to impose the postpaid wireless surcharge under county law and sunsetted that authority. That's gone on December 1st. In order for us to continue that, to continue to impose that, we need to adopt it under provisions of state tax and finance law, which also includes the ability to extend this to the prepaid devices. You can opt to impose the surcharge for both or for neither, but there's no choice between the two. And because our authority under county law is gone, if we don't adopt the surcharge, then we lose that revenue stream that's built into the budget.
Thank you.
I would add also that the number of landlines is going down over time. So in terms of that as a funding source, it's decreasing.
Carol?
Yeah, I was the one who raised the questions initially about, you know, does this unfairly tax people who are least able to afford their cell phones, to have a cell phone that they only use sometimes. I really have mixed feelings about it because I value the emergency services that we provide, and I appreciate whoever, his name was Rich, you're the one who looked into, you know, why this was happening and what it was, and the fact that the two charges are tied, that we can't institute one tax without the other. I'm still mixed about it. I was more convinced, but I do want to know, did you look, Lee, at any alternatives about where else we could be getting the $250,000 if we didn't do this?
Casino money, Lee.
Sorry,
casino.
I really am sorry.
Well, there are always different ways to, you know, the property tax, the sales tax. I mean, there's lots of ways to collect money.
I don't have an answer for that. I mean, we've explored cellular service co-location fees and have not had strong response to leasing space on the towers, a little bit, but not what we thought. And I made a play for the tobacco proceeds a few years ago to build the 911 center, so I have no other options.
Okay, I think that I will support this.
Anna, then Peter, and let's get to a vote.
Just the one thing that makes me feel a little bit better about it, Carol, if it helps at all, I mean, I think we basically have two options. We can't get rid of the service. That's not an option. So we have three options. One is we have a fee that's very widely spread, 30 cents a month, or we add it to our target budget, which comes from property tax, which is a regressive tax, which disproportionately hurts the very people that we're trying to support.
So in my mind, I'm looking at a regressive property tax or I'm looking at a fee. And if I have to pick between the two of them, I'd pick the fee to make the service continue. So just if that helps.
Peter?
Yeah, well, I'm a little bit disappointed. I was coming to vote no on this resolution because I do believe it's a tax on poor people, and I'm against taxes on poor people. But unless I misunderstand the argument, it doesn't make any sense. So I'll vote for it.
Okay, let's vote. I'm going to ask for a roll call since it's a local law.
Mr. Sigler?
Yes.
Mr. Stein?
Yes.
Mr. Burbank?
Yes.
Ms. Chalk?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Mr. John?
Yes.
Ms. Kellis?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Mr. Klein?
Yes.
Mrs. McBean-Claiborne?
Yes.
Mr. McKenna?
Yes.
Mr. Morey?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes.
Mr. Lane?
Yes. Anyone want to change his or her vote?
Don't tempt me.
14 ayes, 0 noes.
Is agreed to. So the local law is adopted. Rich, I think you have another resolution?
I do. And again, I would move the yellow copy that Dooley has made amendments to. And this is authorizing an appropriation of $20,500 from the contingent fund to implement a mass notification system in Tompkins County.
Is there a second? Seconded by Glenn, I think, had his hand up first.
And Joe, did you want to introduce this?
I'd be happy to. This is a system that exists in a lot of other places already. We're a little late to the technology. This will allow this county and, in fact, every municipality within this county to get immediate notification to individuals about circumstances that need a timely notification to them. So, for example, if there is a major flood or disaster pending in the county, this is a way that used to be called reverse 911 to hit a few buttons and alert people immediately to the threat that is presenting itself. It's also a subscription-based service, so if there are people that want to be notified in the city, for example, it's going to use it to know when to move their cars in lieu of the odd-even parking arrangement. They can be on this system, and they can receive notification through this phone system. So it's an opportunity to get information very quickly and consistently to people who need it and want it. It's not a robo-call system. It won't be a nuisance kind of thing. It will be what people want to receive. In acquiring this system, we're also making it available for every municipality within the county. So every town and village and the city of Ithaca will be able to develop its own system of notifying people and of developing their own subscription so they know who to notify for things that are unique to that locality. It's a part of our shared service plan, so we'll be submitting it to Albany as a part of the plan. It will save money compared to what the cost would be if we all did it separately, and we're hoping, therefore, to get some of the money back from the state through the rebate system from the shared services program this year.
Thank you, Joe.
I might like to mention that it was interesting watching this come forward. Initially, out of the city, wondering if we wanted to become a part of their proposal. And when we ended up studying this, turns out that it made more sense for us to do the project and let the city be a part of it. So here's something that we are doing that the city is getting a benefit from. Now, often where people discuss, you know, whether the city is being treated fairly. Now, here's a good example of the city being helped in this measure by the county as a whole. Martha.
Yeah, and I would, as a good point, I would point out that often we'll do things that actually cost more in the county budget, but end up saving people from their town or city, whatever taxes. Yeah. The whole health insurance consortium kind of had that had that idea. And, you know, they we're looking, we're trying to look out for the residents, one, you know, and without this huge idea about our tax levy versus somebody else's. It's looking for the best way to pay for something that's important.
Let's go ahead with a vote, short form roll call.
Mr. Sigler?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
Yep.
Any noes? That's unanimous. Okay, where do we want to go next?
Did you want to report, Mike?
Let's come back to reports. Okay. We've got 40 minutes before our scheduled or our hope to have an executive session. I don't know if we can get through everything, but so let's do the resolutions. Let's go back to and take facilities and infrastructure. Dave, you want to move your resolutions?
Okay.
You had A that was pulled from consent.
Yeah, basically, and I'm gonna move one that Dooley Kiefer has marked up. It's in their packet.
For A?
For A.
Okay.
Authorization to execute additional funding agreement with New York State Department of Transportation for County Route 109 Hanshaw Road reconstruction. In the towns of Ithaca and Dryden.
Okay, second. Seconded by Martha. Discussion? Shall we vote? All those in favor?
No. What?
Go ahead.
This is really confusing. Can you just explain what's going on here? We already paid for this, didn't we? We already built it.
You want me to try?
Yeah, why don't you try?
Okay.
You probably do better than me.
In the end, we overspent the amount that had been allocated or planned for design, that part of it. We underspent the amount for construction. So the expectation was, and the signal we got from the state was, that's not a problem. So you'll just take your construction savings, dollar savings, and pay for those additional design costs. They changed their mind, it appears, or at least the signal became different. And they said, no, you really need to go back and basically do a budget adjustment. So increase the amount that's allocated for design, reduce the amount that had been allocated for construction. So kind of go back and do it that way. That's what's happening. That's what's happening here.
And do they not reimburse us for design costs?
They do, but again, there was an original budget. And they said, we'll reimburse based on that original budget. So that budget for design was low compared to what we actually spent. You recall all the reasons why design costs were very high.
No, so I guess is the net amount from them any different from the state?
I think there is a bit of a savings from the state. I don't think it's significant, Martha, but I think there is a little bit of a difference for the state.
Okay. I'm glad this came off consent because I was really confused. Thank you.
Ready to vote? Those in favor, please raise your hand. Are there any opposed? That's unanimous. Dave, want to go ahead with Jay?
Okay. Rescinding resolution. 2017 through 97, and making a negative declaration of environmental significance in relation to resolution number K of 2017, approving the acquisition and improvement of property commonly known as Tompkins County, or Tompkins Trust Company building located at 106 to 112 North Tioga Street, and I so move.
Dave, there were some changes from Dooley. Which one are you moving?
I missed that one. I guess I'll move Dooley's changes.
Okay. Seconded by Anna. Discussion. Ready to vote? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Are there any opposed? Okay. Let's go to Kay.
Okay. I'm going to rescind resolution 2017-98 and authorize acquisition and improvement of Tompkins County Trust Building at 106 to 112 North Tioga Street, Ithaca, New York, Ithaca Commons, to serve as home for the History Center and other complementary organizations and amend 2017 to 2021 capital improvement program to incorporate the Tompkins Trust building acquisition and improvement project. And that was pending budget and capital, which I believe passed it, right?
Is there a second? Second by Anna again. Discussion? Okay. Start with Dooley, then Carol, then Martha.
My question really has to do with the continuing use of the term Heritage Education Center. That was what was being used initially, but I thought that we had come up with a different terminology. So could that be substituted into this resolution instead?
That's friendly.
Is there any objection?
I don't have any problem with it.
Is that
friendly?
Is that friendly? Okay. So we'll do that. Ready to vote? No, I'm sorry. We've got two more people who want to speak. Carol?
You know what? I'll pass.
Martha?
I support this.
I just want to say, Dave, you get all the fun titles.
I do. It's okay.
Ready to vote? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Are there any opposed? That's unanimous. Let's go to L.
Okay. Rescinding resolution 2017-97 and making negative declaration.
We just did that one. You want to go to the next one.
Where's L?
L.
I'm sorry.
Roll over.
Okay.
Unspent from.
I'm sorry, I had the wrong page. Okay, budget adjustment and appropriation of unspent funds from 2016 and prior years to various accounts of the departments that report to the Facilities Infrastructure Committee.
Is there a second? Seconded by Dooley. Any discussion on that one? Takes a short form roll call.
Mr. Sigler?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes.
All right, Dave, we'll come back for your report.
Wait, I have a question. Did we do J and K?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, let's go to government operations and take resolution M. Dan, please.
Thank you. I'm moving the revised resolution M that's in your red folder. Endorsing the shared services plan presented by the county administrator and recommending its adoption by the Tompkins County Shared Services Panel.
Is there a second? Seconded by Anna. Discussion on this one. Martha.
This is great. Can I ask on the Municipal Health Insurance Consortium, was it the town of Homer or somebody that was another member on a...
I can't. It's an out-of-county...
Right.
Municipality.
It joined it at one point. No?
Yeah.
What?
It was town of Homer.
Okay. And there are municipalities. Is the town of Lansing the only municipality in the county that's not involved? Is that right? Or are they in the consortium?
I think they're in.
Is Newfield coming in?
Newfield's coming in.
Newfield was late.
That's Dooley's. That's the revision here about Newfield.
At one time, the village of Lansing was not in. I'd have to check, Martha, and I will see if the town of Lansing is in. I thought it was.
Do you remember?
I don't, but I think we're in.
I think we're in. Okay. So is this the moment to talk about the plan?
Sure. Let me preface, and I'll get to you, Anna. I think it's really important to understand what we are doing here. We are doing what the state of New York has mandated that we do. And that was when they passed the shared services legislation, they mandated that our county administrator bring together a group of elected officials from being the mayors and supervisors. School superintendents could be added. I'm trying to think if there are any other ones. And discuss and bring forward proposals for shared services and hold no less than 3 public hearings on it within, 90 days or something like that we had. And our county administrator has been diligent in trying to follow the state law and has brought those groups together. They've had two public hearings. They have recommended a shared services plan to us. This is the one part where this legislature gets to have any role in this other than the fact that we do employ our county administrator. And that is we can review this plan and we can reject it or we can accept it or we can recommend modifications of it. And there has to be another public hearing. Did I get that right, Joe?
Spot on.
And
yes.
So I just, hopefully it's not controversial what's going forward. We've had a wonderful group of working on this. Of supervisors and mayors and others, and I think they've got some solid ideas here that could be money saving for municipalities. And but this is open for discussion. Yes, Martha, it's your opportunity to talk about it.
Thanks very much for the intro, Mike. I think this is great. I think you've gotten a lot out of a process that wasn't your choice at that time, but since we already had good municipal relationships through TCOG, through years of TCOG work, I think this was my understanding is a good opportunity to really kind of dig in deeper and look for other opportunities. And I really appreciate the write-up making it clear of how much we're already doing and have been doing for decades. And so I think the items themselves are excellent, even if not likely to be huge money savers, but they're really good. Let me just ask about law enforcement consolidation, which, of course, you'll probably talk about this meeting. It's not in here, even on the study, kind of other areas to look into for the future.
Yeah. The rules of the game on this program was you needed things that could be implemented in 2018, and I'm not sure that the law enforcement, even if everybody came together quickly, could happen on that schedule. The other thing, the reason it's not here for additional study is it is under such intense study right now with consultants involved and the right players involved in the steering committee that we didn't think it was necessary to include it in this packet.
I wonder if you might just mention it, though. I mean, this is, you've got this report, it's dated July, it's already done, but if it might be just edited to mention this is already going on under a separate process that was initiated before this law was passed?
There's no reason why we couldn't, to let the state know that this isn't the end all and be all.
Sure.
Thank
okay.
You.
Mike?
Martha, to answer your question, Town of Lansing, yes, is a member, joined December 20th, 2012.
Thank you, Mike.
Anna?
Super minor question. Well, I mean, it's not minor as far as the environment is concerned, but it's very minor in this regard. When you all talked about the LED fixtures, there was a presentation from a Cornell researcher about the LED spectrum not including red and green, or I mean, I'm sorry, blue and green, correct?
Right.
Is that, did people commit to acknowledging and working on that? I know there's difference in
yes.
prices.
Yeah.
So they all
it's
get
very
that.
Much involved. Brian Eden has provided a report. It's very much part of the conversation
Sweet.
Among the people who are involved in the planning of this. By the way, the city's taken the lead in this. They're kind of in front of everybody else, so they've taken a lead. They've agreed to do a lot of the coordination work. They've been very helpful in moving this along, and indeed this is a part of that conversation.
For anybody who is actually watching, again, it seems minor, but there are some amazing, scary studies that showed nightlife being drawn to the blue and green and killing millions and millions and millions of insects and moths and every single night in every single parking lot that had them. And that obviously that's the bottom of a food chain that works its way up that affects the entire ecosystem. So it's such a minor change that can make a massive impact. So I'm so glad that we have the consciousness in this community to recognize that kind of detail and the great impact it has.
Good.
So thank you. That's awesome.
If I could just quickly, Joe, follow up on what you said. We also contacted, I made a contact with Cornell as to whether they were interested in this. They already have a program themselves. And certainly if there's any municipalities out in front, Glenn, you can certainly tell us that Groton has already done this. and because they have their own municipal electric.
Yes, and all the street lights in Village of Groton have been changed to LED lights, and it's been successful, or it's completed about 5 months ago.
Carol?
Just on the question that Anna asked about the environmentally friendly lights, we did in committee add that wording, and it's in the second to last bullet point, and I did check to make sure that it made it into here, what had come out of committee where we added those words, environmentally friendly. And I will just point out, I probably should have a hyphen. No? Our authority says no hyphen. Okay.
It ends in L-Y, so it doesn't need one.
Okay. But it is in there.
It's an L-Y.
So thank you to those who made sure it made it to the translation to the legislature.
Any more discussion on this? Dooley.
Joe, when you affirmed that to Martha that indeed it includes Homer and Cortland County, I would think it would be reasonable to add that information in the expansion bullet. It could say to include two additional members, the village of Homer in Cortland County and the town of Newfield in Tompkins County, with a saving of whatever it is, $34,000 to the town of Newfield.
Here's what I'd appreciate, Dooley, if that can be a note taken and brought into the final report. I want to make sure it's Homer. Homer may have recently come in, and this may be another municipality that the consortium is now talking about.
Well, so yes, I would want it to be accurate. I was
yeah, if the suggestion is to weave that into the final report and acknowledge the specific municipalities coming in next year, we can do that.
Okay, thank you.
All right, are we ready to vote? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Are there any opposed? That's unanimous.
Thank you.
Joe, all the work you've done, we appreciate it.
Thank you. And thank you for the vote.
I'm going to take our break at this point. 10 minutes. We come back. I think we're going to have some longer discussions here and see if we can get through it and then go back and do necessary reports. We're back in session. We have the resolutions out of budget capital. We also have about a 15-minute presentation that our county administrator is going to make on the capital budget. So I want to just let everyone know before we get into long talks on this. Excuse me. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. Dan, you also have resolution N.
Thanks. That. Before I do that, I'm going to mention my very, very quick eclipse thing, which is if it's visible that day, if it's sunny, you can go under a tree and look down at the shadow. You will get a free, non-eye damaging, really interesting view, the shadow under a tree. All right, resolution N. Do it.
It's like
trust
a calendar.
Me. Yeah, trust me, it's a good one. Resolution N, adoption of a revised sign-in form for public speaking at legislative meetings. I move that.
Second. I'm not seeing a second. There's a second from Anna.
Okay. I want to say something about this, but Anna wanted to introduce it first.
Oh, right. I did, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Do you want to remind me what it is that I wanted to say?
You wanted to give the context for this, I believe.
Absolutely. Just a bit of background for anybody who happens to be watching, so everybody around the table does understand this. There were a couple people in the public who spoke about this, but I guess it's important to note that the most effective way for people to communicate with us, and it may not be what we feel, but it may be the most effective way that people in the public feel. And so the whole point of this is to empathize and put ourselves in the position of people in the public. If they feel that coming to us is the most effective way, over calling, emailing, and not necessarily getting a response, not seeing face-to-face, all the research, everything we know, face-to-face is very powerful.
if there are people who don't feel safe, and the people who don't feel safe are more likely to be the marginalized people in our community, then we are actually creating a bias in the people that we hear from. So the purpose of this modification of the blue card was to create an environment that was as welcoming as possible to everyone in the community equally. The thing that I think that is the most important about this is that it does still outline rules of engagement that we all believe in and support. And at the end of the blue card, they sign as you would in any contract or agreement. But the most important part about this is that they don't need to give their municipality or their last name that would self-identify them if they don't feel safe. So they are still giving us a name, their first name, if they would like to, so that we can call on them. I would say that the modification, the impact on us and our activities is not greatly impacted by this. But the impact on the community, for those people, even if it's just 10 people in the community that could feel more safe, it simply means that we're more welcoming. And what's the harm in being more welcoming? So that was all I wanted to say about this. I would add one last thing, actually, that there has been overwhelming support, as we've seen, and it's been expanding, and there have been articles. So I think that the community has spoken on this one, and since it wouldn't necessarily have major logistical impacts, I support it.
Dan?
I have never liked this idea. I never felt that this was necessary, and I thought there was a whole variety of ways that people could communicate without putting themselves in danger. However, we didn't have an outpouring of people coming to us saying, I agree with you, Dan, we should leave the blue cards as they are. And, in fact, we had the opposite. And also, I reached out to a number of people, and people in other governmental bodies and other individuals that maybe would fall into the classes that this is supposedly trying to protect. And they also said, yeah, I think we should probably make these modifications to make it anonymous if people want that. So I'm going to do one of those things where I don't think this is a good idea, but I'm going to vote for it anyway. And I want to say that the solution we came up with in committee is, I hope we stick with it. I hope we don't try to modify it today. It is the least impacting of the current form and the current rules, and yet I believe it accomplishes the goal that it's trying to accomplish.
Martha?
Thank you. I understand this has been really kind of complicated. And by the way, while I have the mic, if we could go to Resolution R before we have the presentation on the capital program, because we got members of the public waiting, but that's just me. But I would like to float, and if this seems okay, I would like to make an amendment to this. It matters to me whether we're hearing from somebody, a resident of Tompkins County. We've had a number of things, that issues where the only people on one side or another that came to speak to us were not even county residents. So there are 110,000 of us, and I don't think that is too big of a abrogation of privacy or whatever. So leave municipality optional, municipality residents optional, but I would like to modify this to add a line that says county of residents with a blank and not make that optional. I think we have certainly a right to know if we're even talking to our own residents. So I will make that an amendment.
All right. You're moving to amend the proposed form to add a line for county of residence.
Correct.
Is there a second for that? Seconded by Carol. Discussion on that amendment. Dooley?
Martha, I agree with you that I would like to know if the person does reside in Tompkins County, but would it be equally effective to just say, are you a Tompkins County resident? Or do you really want to know which other county they live in?
Yeah.
Yes, which?
I want to know what county they live in.
It's not just that you care if they're a Tompkins resident.
I think so.
Further discussion on the amendment. All those in favor of the amendment. Mike?
Can I ask you a question, Mike? Because just based on the history, too, wasn't the blue card also meant as kind of like an agreement between the
people? That's what I was saying.
It is.
Okay.
In my intro, that's what
and
I said.
And we're still having that.
Yes, that's okay. They're signing it.
Okay.
The reason that's done is because the privilege of the floor is just that. It's a privilege. We are not required to allow people to speak at our meetings on any topic like we do. We do that because we want to hear from them. We want there to be certain rules, which we have adopted, of decorum. And that's what the blue card has evolved into. Anna?
I just wanted to point out the purpose of doing this was so that we could create something that someone could come and speak and identify themselves in a way that they wouldn't be identifiable necessarily and findable, right? So if we have their first name, last name, residence, or, you know, district, if someone wanted to look for them, we're kind of making it easy. So the reason that I supported this is that if someone's just giving their first name, not their district, not their last name, they are significantly less easy to find, and that's why I was supporting this. I think putting the line that Martha added does not increase the ability to find them just by saying the county that they're in. So I'm in support of that. That's fine as an amendment. I'm not going to oppose that. I recognize the interest. The only other thing that I wanted to point out, and this is very important, is that there are really two ways that they could be identified. One, obviously, is being here and giving all of their information. But a lot of times the media uses the minutes to communicate in what is written, and people are identified. So the meeting minutes will reflect what is announced. If they say that they only want recorded their first name, not their last name and their district, that's what is going to be in the minutes. So it'll be both in the minutes and in public, and I think that that's also very important for the community to understand that. It's a safeguard for them.
Okay. Any more discussion on the amendment? Carol?
Yeah. Well, first, can I just ask a clarifying question? Did you just say their name would be in the minutes or wouldn't be?
So if your name was June Withers, right, and you say you put only June here, you don't put your last name, and you don't put your municipality, and then you sign it, what's in the minutes is June.
Is that, in fact, what would happen?
That is what we discussed.
Yes? Okay. I'm a little bit confused about the order in which to talk about this. I understand that. I seconded it because I'm in a fighting position here. I don't believe we should have the blue cards. But if we're going to have the blue cards, I do want that piece of information about whether somebody lives in our county. I don't see that the blue cards have made any difference to the behavior on the part of the people who come to speak to us. I think it's created more tension than it's solved. That's why I'm in a funny position of adding to the blue cards. I also just want to check my understanding of what that from committee as to what it means to ask for somebody's signature. So I understand we would be just asking for a first name. Personally, I would say or acronym, but I'll leave that alone for now. But if somebody signs and they're asked for a signature, we did learn in committee that that is foilable. So a member of the press or somebody else can come and ask, but, you know, can I see all those records? Because when somebody signs a document, it's a public record, and we are not allowed to destroy public records. Thinking about this after committee, I thought, well, maybe there's other things we should be looking at. if not now, certainly in the future, as to whether we could just have a list of people, and it could be by first name, and you, the top, it just says, I understand that I'm agreeing to the three-minute limit and to these some of these other things, but you're just listing your name as opposed to signing. And so, Jonathan, I want to find out, when we ask for a signature, does a signature, can somebody put a signature that includes just a first name, or is your signature your entire, the way you normally sign documents?
A signature really could be any mark that you intend to be your signature.
Okay.
I mean, people could have a signature who don't know how to write their name.
Right. That's why they put
okay, but if my signature is normally Carol I. Chalk, and that's how I always sign, can I come and sign this and just sign Carol?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Sure. Okay. Well, then I will I will vote for Martha's amendment, because if we're going to have the blue cards, I want to know where people live.
All right. Any comments, any further comments or discussion on the amendment, which to add the county of residence to the information requested on the signing card? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Are there any opposed? I have one opposed. All right, back to the original motion. I have Jim Dennis to speak.
I would like to move that the person who writes under privilege of the floor puts their last name, and I would move that.
Is there a second?
Can you clarify that, please, Jim?
I'm sorry?
Can you clarify what you mean?
Last name, James Dennis. I would write my last name on the line where it says last name.
So you
I
get rid of the word optional?
The option.
Okay.
Is there a second? Seconded by Will. Discussion on the amendment.
Yes, if you don't mind. I've been looking at the Common Council rules of procedure that were set up after a person showed up at the Common Council years ago and threw a shoe at the mayor in those days. And that was prior to when I was there, people, there was privilege of the floor. You raised your hand and you got called on. You didn't write your name. And this happened many years ago. Guy showed up angrily, something, took off his shoe, threw it at the mayor, who happened to be, I think, Alan Cohen at the time. And a whole bunch of new rules came into effect. And it's they post their rules on the outside of the door at Common Council chambers. And there's a card that I sent to everyone. And basically, the card says, you have read and understand the posted rules of orders, and for members of the public addressing the mayor of the Common Council, blah, 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 name, street address, municipality, topic of address. And if you have a disability, we will require special arrangements, and they will take care of that. It made sense to me then, and it made sense to me now. And in fact, they have 10 items in their privilege of the floor, the last one being if a member of the public refuses to follow the orders of the mayor or whoever's chairing the meeting, they recess the meeting, everyone leaves, goes in the room at the back of the council chambers, and then the person is asked to leave. They don't leave. They call security or the police, who are always there, and the person is taken out and arrested on the charge of obstructing governmental administration. I am not suggesting that we need to do that here, but it makes no sense to me that in a meeting that's televised, it's streamed, that anybody can think that they're going to be anonymous if they show up here. I've heard the argument people have lost their job because they came here and said something. That was during the situation when we were talking about solid waste, and we were doing some things during that. People got really vented about that. A couple of their employees showed up meeting after meeting after meeting when we were talking about living wage for solid waste. We renegotiated the contract. The person who was here lost their job, who spoke to us many, many times, but it was totally unrelated to what he said here. It was personnel issues that they had to deal with at Solid Waste that person who was a star here but eventually was let go from his job. So, you know, I find it really strange that a couple of people have showed up here and tested the legislature about they're not going to give their name and blah, blah, blah. And it's on film. You know, it's a tape. And it's just stunning to me to think that someone believes they could remain anonymous in a meeting that's televised. You know, and all the things that I'm afraid because I'm going to lose my job, blah, blah, blah. Show me the proof of that happening, and I might change my mind. But no one can do that I know of. So that's why I'm suggesting that you put your last name down.
I just want to make sure people who want to speak, we're talking about Jim's amendment, not the basic resolution.
Yes.
All right, so let's go to Anna.
Was it seconded?
Yes, it was seconded. I will. So I just wanted to point out that I, with all due respect, believe everything you just said is irrelevant because this does do what the city's does. People sign it, and they are committed to the rules of ours, and adding or not adding their last name will not in any way, shape, or form change their commitment to our rules, which state all of the things that it used to state. So that has not changed at all. There is nothing about adding or not adding the last name that will make their commitment to our rules of engagement any less. So I think that it's an irrelevant amendment. I don't think it'll change this. They still have to identify themselves by their first name, which does provide them protection, and they do have to sign it with their first name if that is how they want to sign it, and that is how it'll be foilable. Everything that I'm hearing in against this change, I don't feel is relevant because they have to make these rules. They have to identify themselves. We are trying to create a way that they can identify themselves so that they feel safe. I don't think that it's important whether or not we can prove or not prove anonymity by the video. The point is whether or not they feel safe. And I don't care if it's even one person that feels more safe. It's like saying, well, if one kid in the class is persecuted, that's okay. I mean, if it's only if there's a group of people that we should do something. And so if it doesn't cost us anything, zero, this doesn't cost us anything. We're still getting our rules. We're still getting a signature. We're still getting a commitment. Then what's the problem if one more person feels safe?
Let's go to Martha on Jim's amendment.
Right. I agree with what everybody says. Jim has an important point. Jonathan Wood has made a good point that it is relevant to, you know, somebody's full name is, you know, somebody has, you know, we have kind of a right to know who the full name of the person who is speaking. So there are rights on all sides. But like so many things, this is there's no perfect answer. So I'm going to oppose Jim's suggestion. I think it's really important for people not to assume because such and such a claim is made that it has been sort of documented and proven to be true about why somebody lost a job. Anybody can say whatever they want about why they lost their job. It's a very different thing to actually draw a direct line. So I don't want us to be in the position of saying that's the reason we're doing this, because I don't think that's documented. We don't have that information one way or the other. However, you don't need documentation for somebody to say, I don't feel safe. That's all you need to know. It's like, okay, as Anna just said, you know, if even one person doesn't feel safe, I can't really judge that. And this seems like, although I certainly agree, it's illogical to think you will be not discovered if you say something on camera here. I'm not going to judge that either. I think this is somehow, you know, slicing the pie well enough. And I'm going to support, with the one amendment I made, I'm going to support this the way it came out of committee.
Peter?
I don't have anything to say about this. I wanted to talk about generally about it.
The general resolution?
Yeah.
All right. Ready to vote on Will, sorry.
Thank you, Mike. So I second the amendment. I think the committee did, in fact, try to come up with something that made sense. And Anna, I certainly understand your impassioned argument. I think that it's not just about an understanding of the rules and an agreement to follow them, but also in a fundamental sense, if you're speaking to the whole legislature, I think it is a higher good to the broader public to know who in the totality is speaking. And so I would support Jim's proposal to use last name. As it has been pointed out, there are many other ways to communicate, quite frankly, better ways. And though you are correct, Anna, that people may perceive of this, I know that I've had some wonderful, long, extended conversations with people on difficult subjects, and it was a real two-way thing. Far, to my mind, a far better discussion than we you know, are capable, given the three-minute constraint. So I will be voting for Jim's amendment.
Carol?
I lost the thought. I agree with Anna and Martha that it's really not up to us to decide the level of risk that somebody else is willing to take. People have to decide that for themselves. And so, you know, crossing the street is a risk that I discovered, much to my chagrin. You know, getting in a car is, there's lots of things we do that where we take risks, and different of us take different kinds of risks. So, somebody should decide for themselves. There was another point I wanted to make based on what Will just said. That's the one that I lost.
All right, let's.
It's just that, you know, the committee spent a lot of time on this and came up with this compromise. I don't think that it really changes the dynamic between us and the public to have the cards at all. We have the same remedy if somebody doesn't follow our rules, whether we have the card or not. But at least this gives people more of an option as to how to present themselves, and gives us the opportunity to hear from a wider range of people, or might give us the opportunity to. And boy, today, there's nothing more important than to making sure we're accessible to as wide a range of people as possible.
Ready to vote on Jim's amendment to require the last name on the sign-in card. All those in favor, please raise your hand. Those opposed? I have two in favor and the rest are opposed. Back on the main motion, Leslin McBean Claiborne.
Never mind, Mr. Chair.
Then we go to Peter Stein.
Yeah, I think we're doing something very bad here. I really do. The whole thing doesn't make any sense to me. People always have the ability to lie if they don't want to do that. You mean you write down something on a piece of paper? If you're really concerned about being identified, you can write down the wrong name. I don't think there's anyone who thinks you can go to jail for writing down the wrong name there. And I think that the introducing it puts a kind of, I mean, I really look forward to to hearing what the people have to say. I think that one of our great weaknesses as a democratic group that's supposed to represent a group of people who we don't know, we have great difficulty finding the people that we know and talking to them. At least that's been my experience over the time I've been here. And I have found this, and I know I always felt sort of bad that we couldn't have any back and forth between the people who were speaking to that, but on a number of occasions I've gone up and spoken to the people after they had made the statement and to try to understand what they're saying, because I've never found it very easy to know how people feel about us. So as far as I'm concerned, this is a mistake. I've had a couple, you know, there are two people sitting in this room who are running for, who could be running to come into this, to be one of you in the next.
Use your microphone, please, Mr. Stein.
Yeah, okay, sorry. There's two people in this room who are running to join this group. And they're there because they came up and they made a statement about what people wanted. And I went back and I talked to them, and we had a long discussion about what it was like to be on the legislature. And I think that was a really important conversation that I had with those two people. Another reason is that on several occasions, I have heard people say something and I didn't really understand what they said, and I was able to go back to the minutes and find out who they were and call them up on the telephone. And several of those turned out to be very, I learned a great deal by talking to the people on the telephone to better understand what their complaint was doing. I think we need more opportunity to talk to the people. And I think we're painting a picture to make it as like, you know, you're going and testifying before the FBI or something like that. We're taking something that is very doesn't have the sense of being taking data and writing it down and so forth, but just making it possible to have communication between us and the people that we represent. And I have the feeling that it's going to come out bad. For instance, I would not at all, some of you said, I want to know what county they're coming from. Well, if you've got something like that, if people want to write the wrong county, they'll write the wrong county. They know there's nothing that you can do to get them to do that. It's just a mistake, I think. I think the way we're doing it now is a better way than this, that's all.
Okay, we've got a bunch of stuff to do tonight. We're supposed to have an executive session 20 minutes ago. I've got four people who want to speak, Dooley, Rich, Mike, and Leslin, on this main motion. We've got other resolutions that we ought to do tonight. We've got one very important one having to do with sales tax that we've got to take up. I just want to talk to you about, please talk more briefly. Dooley.
I would like to point out on line 23, a comma is missing after the word slanderous. I hope that you will accept that as friendly. And I don't think it's funny, Will. On line 25, I would like to propose another change, an amendment, which I was not able to bring up at GO because the chair would not consider any other amendments. So I'm going to try it tonight. I believe line 25 would be improved if it read, I agree not to speak about identifiable individual county employees other than elected officials. That's simple. And that's all.
Can you repeat it?
The personnel matters is addressed in boldface down at the bottom of the card. So I make that motion.
Can you repeat it?
Yes. I agree not to speak about identifiable individual county employees other than elected officials.
Is there a second for that amendment? Seconded by Jim. Dan?
The reason the chair did not allow amendments is because we had run out of time at that meeting, and we are taking up the topic, unfortunately, of the blue card again at our next GO meeting to consider further revisions to it. We agreed to this one, and we agreed to bring it to the legislature. So I would request that that change goes through the committee process as well.
Let me stop you for a second and say that's news to me that you're planning to take this. I'm wondering if then the proper action tonight would be to refer this back to committee.
Let's just do it.
Can you explain why we should not take a discrete part that we agreed on and vote on that?
Well, I just think that if we're changing the card and we've got all these amendments to it, that it sounds like it needs more committee action.
Mr. Chair, if I may respectfully disagree, that clearly all of this generates a lot of debate, and those two items that are just brought up are not related to each other. I don't see why we can't vote on a discrete part that's already been decided on in committee.
It's the will of the group, whatever we do. All right, so we've got we have an amendment on the floor from Dooley, and was there a second? I'm sorry.
Yes.
It was seconded by Jim.
By Jim.
All right, on the amendment.
Please restate.
Dooley, would you please restate?
I agree to not speak about identifiable individual county employees other than elected officials.
It's friendly to me.
It's not friendly. They're unrelated, and some people may want to vote for one change and not the other, and there's no mechanism for doing that. I still think we should vote on them separately.
So, been moved and seconded. Let's take Martha, then Carol.
I understand that there's a technical thing we're not supposed to, that if we're supposed to not allow criticism of county personnel, we also can't allow compliments of county personnel. If, you know, I would rather, if somebody by accident compliments a county staff person, I'm okay with that. And I would rather leave it like this, because a personnel matter sounds much more like, you know, that kind of complaint, blah, blah, blah. Whereas if you say, you can't talk about any county staff person, then nobody can come in and say, Joe did an awesome job on that shared services plan. Thank you, Joe. And I think we would all be the poorer for that. I think the way it is kind of is a little bit fuzzier, and I would rather leave it where it is.
I was still talking about Dooley's amendment. Yes. Carol?
Yes. I would like to move to, refer that matter to committee.
That particular amendment or the
whole amendment
resolution?
To committee. But I would second what Dan said. We talked about this for over an hour or longer in committee, and it turns out that the permutations of whether you do this line, you do something else to another line, it's just they got to be ridiculous. And so we didn't agree on a whole lot, but we did agree as a committee to take these as discrete points. That's how they were added. So I think it's
too much. I'm not sure we can refer an amendment back to committee. Is that?
Can we postpone? I move to postpone?
John,
or table?
I'm asking for an opinion of counsel.
I guess, I suppose there is a motion.
Use your mic.
I'm sorry. Well, it's certainly unusual. I mean, the main motion could be referred back to committee.
Right.
I honestly, I honestly don't know. I mean, I think that you probably cannot refer to committee a motion to amend a motion.
My ruling as the chair then is that you cannot refer an amendment back to the committee. If the committee wants to talk about it, they can always do that. But I think we have to take action based on the resolution. If you want to move to return that to committee. That
point of question. A follow-up to Jonathan.
Yes, go ahead.
And this is just my own ignorance. If we don't approve this amendment now, it still can be taken up as a totally separate motion in committee.
Right. Yes.
Okay, just want to make sure I understood.
Martha?
And that's what I would urge that people do, vote it down now so we can get on to the main
I agree.
Issue, and then the committee would... So, as they say, without prejudice, not saying that we are opposed to that particular change, but just that the committee should talk about it later.
Yeah. So, since I started with this question, and I think I had the floor about that, I will say I'm going to vote against this now. I do agree that it's worth considering some kind of wording related to how we talk about county personnel and who is included and positives and negatives, but I think it's more than tonight's conversation.
Leslin, are you trying to get in to speak on the amendment?
No, Mr. Chair, the main motion.
Okay, then I've got you on the list if I ever get back to the main motion.
I'm telling you. Okay. We got public waiting, y'all. Come on.
Well, I've been reminding folks of that. All right, so we're going to vote. I'm sorry, Dooley, go ahead.
I will withdraw this suggestion. I did not dream it would lead to this ridiculous discussion.
Are you withdrawing the comment, too?
No. Not.
All right, so that's been withdrawn.
If it's all right with the seconder.
Now we're back on the main motion. I still have Rich, Mike, and Leslin.
And myself. I raised my hand for the main motion earlier.
We've had you. We'll take you again. I think I'll put you at the bottom. Rich?
I'm reminded of a comment Mo Udall made many years ago where he got up to speak and said, I think everything's been said on this subject, but not everybody has said it. And here we are. Dan, I agree with the comments you made. It seems like a long time ago that I'm not enthusiastic about this. We're a public body. We do the public's business. Knowing what is said and who said it kind of go together. But at the same time, as Anna has noted, I can't stand in the shoes of the people who get up to speak. And we want to encourage people to come talk to us. And if this is the critical element, if there really is fear, I'm okay with the amendments to the card that we're proposing, and in fact I made the motion at the committee to do this. I hope that it's rarely used. You know, that people coming in and talking to us should know that us knowing who they are is an important element. But if they need it, and that's the differential on getting them here and talking to us, I'm okay with it. I would also say that this is not set in stone. The GO committee could pick up blue cards again at any time. If this is abused, we can look at it again and reconsider. I'd also mention that in our discussion at committee, we also noted the chair of each committee has the authority to confirm with somebody who wishes to speak anonymously that the rules do apply. So, thanks.
Mike?
I'll be quick. I just I wanted to say if you guys had come forward from committee with eliminating the blue cards altogether, I probably would have supported that too. So I have a lot of faith in the committee. You guys obviously debated this a long time. I'm happy with what you came up with. I mean, it's fine. I will say for the people speaking, there is something about saying your name to a public group, whereas I think you're taken more seriously. You know, to draw from Harry Potter, the name Voldemort carries a lot more weight than he who must not be named. So, bring that out there for you. And if GEO does take this up again, please change the color of the card, because I am tired of hearing blue card. So thank you.
We were thinking pink or green.
Mr. Chair, once again, I'm going to pass and hope that we can vote on this thing.
Thank you. Anna?
Very quickly, I wanted to make the legal point, and Jonathan, correct me if I'm wrong. We, in open meetings law, can identify topic areas
that we feel okay talking about or ones that we want to exclude. But we can't dictate that only one side of every particular topic be discussed, which is why this was written very, very specifically so that just blanket across personnel issues cannot be talked about. Here's a perfect example of a more extreme situation, just so we're clear. Like, we could not say, well, you can only talk about abortion if you're pro-life, which is the equivalent. So we just say, simply speaking, can't talk about personnel. Positive, negative, as the privilege of the floor, that this does not hold for legislators in committee.
Jim?
I only want to say that if we're going to call this a blue card, it should be a blue card. It makes sense to me that you would post the rules on the wall, outside the door, inside the door, and you actually have a card that you put your name on or not. You know, if I showed up here 6 months from now, I think I'm going to write Elvis on mine and then see if I can get to the microphone. But we've never had a blue card.
What?
You mean it's a blue sheet?
Blue piece of paper.
Oh, you mean cardstock?
Yeah, we do.
All right, let's vote. So we have before us the resolution out of committee with the one amendment. Is that correct? Which is to add the county of residence. All those in favor of the resolution with that change, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Those opposed. 1, 2, 3. That is agreed to. Whew. All right, folks. I'm going to move down to budget, see if we can please talk about the sales tax extension briefly. Jim?
Yes, I'd love to. You want the resolution?
Resolution Q, please.
The extension of the additional 1% sales tax for 3 years, increasing taxes on sales and uses of tangible property and of certain services and occupancy of hotel rooms, amusement charges pursuant to Article 29 of the tax law, State of New York, in order to extend the effective date through 11/30/2020, and I would move that.
So you're moving the revised version that says 3 years,
am.
Right?
And may I just make one comment? It's 3 years. It's very late in the process because of the hesitancy on part of the state legislature to do these local sales tax extensions and in the time of the first session of the legislature.
I have a second from David McKenna. Are ready to vote? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Are there any opposed? That is unanimous.
Can I just ask that there be in the minutes, maybe a plain language version of this? A few sentences that are plain language that explain what it is we did.
What it is.
The question I called you and asked, Jim, and you explained it so simply. It's easy.
It's the 1% sales tax extension that we have to re-ask for every 3 years.
What is it?
Why is it?
We can put a sentence like that in the minutes.
Thank you. It's just the title of it makes it sound like we're taxing certain things and not others, and I couldn't find anything in there that was.
Right. Let's go to resolution R, Jim.
May I ask one question, Mike?
Yes.
The finance director is not here, director of finance, but it's 1%, and it's not specifically for you get charged 8% or whatever the rate is. It's on whatever you buy, right?
Yeah, the state defines what's taxable and what's not. We don't have any choice in that at all.
I mean, we could write, 100 things down here that are taxable.
It just lets it go to county.
Okay, let's go to Resolution R, Jim.
Oh, Lord, no. Resolution to recognize Indigenous Peoples Day as a holiday in Tompkins County. And I would move that.
Seconded by Leslin. Mm-hmm. Discussion.
Let me just say, we had a meeting yesterday afternoon. It passed on a 4-1 with no changes to it at all.
Anna.
And I wanted to just say thank you to the committee for doing that. I think that the intention of this is to honor a group of people that have never been acknowledged in this context. I'm not even going to get into, there was a very good article that was written by Yvonne and Duxon that came out that describes the history of the treatment of the Indigenous peoples. So I don't need to get into that here. The point of this is to create a healing that is long overdue. We have gotten a lot of letters in support of this from the community, and I hope that everyone can honor that. We have recognized Columbus Day since officially across the United States since 1937. It has been unofficially acknowledged across states in the United States since the early 1800s. The intention of this resolution was to simply acknowledge that the Indigenous peoples were here, that this is their land, and officially celebrate their lives here. It is not to denigrate any other group. It is not to dismiss any other group. It speaks in and of itself to say this group is included and honored and appreciated and celebrated on this day where two peoples came together. And I'm not going to talk about the abuse, the brutality. We all know the history. It's grim. But this is a tiny step in moving to some sort of healing. And I really hope that we can move through this really quickly. I really hope that we do not support an amendment to add any reference to Columbus Day that has already been referenced and celebrated for a very long time. This is not to oppose that or to remove it. This is simply to add something. And so I very, very strongly support not amending this as it was left in committee.
Jim?
Leslin, may I ask you to say what you said yesterday at the committee meeting? Leslin, as chair of WDIC, brought this resolution to us. And,
Thank you, Jim. I had my hand up. I don't know if it was my turn yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I would have called on
you. Jim was trying to get on first, but go ahead, Leslin.
No. Jim was asking me to speak.
Go ahead.
I don't know if that's the order.
Go ahead.
So thank you, Jim, and thank you for acknowledging that this came out of Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee. As you all may recall, last year we attempted to bring a similar resolution to this body. There wasn't enough time for people to really sort of digest it and deal with it, so we instead opted for a proclamation. I did say at that time that it is our intention, the Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, to bring a resolution this year. I was very deliberate in writing this resolution with the assistance of members of our Native American community last year. This is pretty much mirrors what came to us last year, except for a few small minor changes, that it did not include any reference to Columbus Day specifically. I was not asking in this resolution to replace one with the other. As a matter of fact, I said in committee yesterday that I find it concerning or delusional or collusional or one of those illusionals that there's just been so much conversation and so much back and forth around whether we're attempting to poke somebody in the eye or not, when this is a time when we should all be thinking about how do we build relationships. I said in committee yesterday that I don't know which higher power designated that there's only one group of people who can claim the second Monday in October or the fourth Wednesday in November. I don't know who decided that there's only one group of people can claim that day and no other can. I was born on September 20th. I'd like for nobody else to claim that day, but I don't have that power. I said also in committee, like many other dual designated days there are. There are people who choose to celebrate Columbus Day, and there are people who choose not to. This is a recognition and honor that I think whose time has come. I want to also point out, and Dan had brought up a very important point yesterday about unions and so on and so forth. I want to make it clear to folks, I don't want you all to believe me. You know, I've been in HR for a very long time. There are very few things that I do without careful thought and knowledge. But our personnel commissioner and committee yesterday made it very clear that doing this should not have any impact whatsoever on union contracts or anything like that. So the idea behind this is what you see. I've looked at several municipalities and cities across this country that have done the same thing, and most of them have written in a replacement of one for the other. That is pretty much what it is. I sent to you all also the draft resolution that the city was is considering tomorrow evening and further, so that you can see side by side what we're looking at. That said, and I'll have a whole lot more to say, is this, and I'm hoping everybody's talked up by now and that we'll just vote. But that said, there are a few amendments, very minor, that I'd like to add to the resolution. I do want to thank Dan Hill is here. Dan is a Native American and was a representative who we can always call on for his knowledge and wisdom and guidance. So thank you for being here, Dan. Dooley, thank you for your amendments. I want to go to the second, whereas, what's that, line six? Where Dooley suggested, whereas the Tompkins County Legislature, so add in Tompkins before county and legislature, recognizes. I would like to go to the first, whereas, line four. That would later become known as the Americas have owned these lands since time immemorial, as opposed to occupied. These lands, as we know, were owned by our indigenous peoples.
Excuse me? Could you say that again, please?
Instead of occupied, line four. Americas have, it says occupied. I'd like to amend that to owned, O-W-N-E-D. I went backwards.
Do you need a second?
And there's one last one. And again, in line six, on land that it says was, the homes and villages, testament, folks are still living here, are the homes and villages, as opposed to was.
Land that is?
Last, pardon?
Land that is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, sorry.
Includes?
No. Stand on land that.
That includes?
Sure, includes. That's fine. Thank you, Carol, for that. My grammar is off. And finally, the second to last, whereas, what line is this? Line 21. Am I looking at the right thing? Proposed by, yes, line 21, nation-sponsored international conference on discrimination against indigenous populations in the Americas, and called for the revocation of the doctrine of discovery. Thank you to the Ithaca Voice for whoever did that article in there.
Would you repeat that, please?
And called at the end of that, whereas, and called for the revocation of the doctrine of discovery.
I don't know what that means.
The doctrine of discovery. It's in the article that you read.
What did you say?
Yeah, but everybody didn't read it.
What does it mean?
No, I was just waiting to be done.
You have more?
No, those were the only amendments that I was proposing.
So I became muddled in the process. Leslin, were you proposing all of those as an amendment to the wording that came out of committee?
Yes.
Okay. So I'd like to speak to some of them, but I don't think it's been seconded.
For that amendment. Seconded by Anna. Will.
Okay. And Dooley had come up with an alternative suggestion. I saw you took some of the wording from that, and I appreciated certainly the reference to Thomas County Legislature. I would actually like an opportunity to give Dooley an opportunity to hear her thinking in terms of the date, which is, I gather, the most substantive thing. But on the wording, there's a lot to take in, and the one that jumped out at me that I was not comfortable with was the substitution of the word occupied with owned. I tried to figure out, well, occupied implies sort of an outside group coming in and taking over, and I understand why that might not be the right word. But my understanding is that concept of ownership are also very, very different for Native peoples than we might see them today, and or at least at the time. And so maybe you can speak a little more about why that word makes sense, or if there's maybe another word.
Mm-hmm. So I'm happy to. Part of what I went back to is sitting on the Bicentennial Committee when we were considering all the signage for the various towns. And I pulled up what came from our county historian, in which he very clearly speaks of, for example, town of Danby, Cayuga Indian Grounds. And she also talks about how these things were taken in war, owned by the Cayuga Indian, and Cayuga Indian Grounds taken in war. Town of Dryden, Iroquois Grounds. Keep going down the line. Town of Enfield, same thing. So just going on the line to all these towns, town of Ithaca, home of Tutelo Indian Village, destroyed, 1779. A lot of it taken in war, or confiscated in war. Town of Newfield, Saponi and Tutelo Indians, and keeps going down. So for me, as we keep talking about this, and this was language that was also being proposed to be on those markers outside, that it clearly demonstrates that these were lands that were owned and that we should recognize as such. And this is why that language sat better with me, because that is just a fact. So that's all I wanted to point out. And again, going from what our county historian has also shared with us, that we are putting on plaques that are sitting outside of the markers for all of these towns and villages. So I just wanted to point that out. I mean, I don't know, is anybody here who's debating the fact that the lands were owned?
I'll debate it.
Yeah, they were not owned.
They were used. There are ecologists who say nobody owns the land. They're used. Animals used land. Humans used land. Can't really own land. So there's another way to look at it.
Really, Julie, you don't own the land that your house sits on?
Oh, I follow the local laws, yes.
You own the land your house sits on, Julie.
Legally,
and so do I.
Legally, I do, but not in the greater scheme of things.
All right, we've got this is not what hands it's about. Up here. We're going to be talking here for an hour. I can see that. Jim, Anna, Carol.
This is a very different resolution than one that the committee sent forward yesterday with the changes, and I would move to send it back to the Budget Committee. And
bring a motion to refer back to the Budget Committee with the because of the changes. Let's see. We have.
Let's try.
Does that take precedence, Jonathan, over the amendment?
A couple of words.
Just a couple words, really.
It's not a couple words.
Yeah, it is a couple words.
Well, happy with it the way it was.
Well, can we try for a few minutes and then? It didn't get a second, right?
Yes, it did.
No, no, Jim's motion that he just made.
I mean,
did that get
the
a
motion
second?
Takes precedence. I mean, it doesn't really matter whether it's because of a change or not. I mean, you could move to send something back to the committee if you had no changes.
Can we hear the one person?
We have the amendment on the floor. I now have a motion to refer back to committee. Is it proper? Is that motion properly on the floor now?
We have a Native American in the room who wants to speak to this. Can we just honor that?
Not right now.
I'm sorry, person. Oh, indigenous.
Yeah, I believe the motion to send back to committee takes precedence.
Okay.
To.
All right. Is there a second for the motion to refer? Seconded by Mike. All right. I've been asked, Jim, we've been asked to allow someone from the audience to speak. Are you willing to let that happen before we vote on referring back to committee?
Absolutely. Mike, you're the chair of the legislature.
All right. Please come to the microphone. Yes.
Go ahead.
You had your hand up, and a legislator has asked that you be able to speak. So go ahead.
I probably need to turn it on.
Dan Hill. I'm a seat warmer for the Cougar Nation Heron Clan. I live in Union Springs. I'm the first Cayuga to move back in a residential area for 200 years. We've been scattered all over the area, and I heard of this resolution coming up for Indigenous Day 2 days ago, asking for our input. As I put out the email to the leadership of the Confederacy, the Cayuga Nation, I got some input back that we are here, we still have lands here, we are all coming home. We've been scattered all over the place. Canada is where a lot of us live. I ended up in California for 30 years. My family lived on different reservations for those 200 years. The fact that we owned the land is a different way of thinking than what has been imposed on us. We owned the land for our families to come, our people, our generations to come, and so we're responsible for the care and upkeep of the waters, land, and air. So a lot of times you hear us talking about the environment and speaking about that. But when the colonial people came, they were under a law by the Vatican Church saying that if you did not belong to the church, you were not a soul. You didn't exist as a human being. And so that's where the core of the Doctrine of Discovery, the Papal Bull, they said that we, if we're not Christian, we don't have any right to own the land. We can occupy the land, but that's not the way. That's the wrong thing to do. That was used all the way up until the Cayuga land case 10 years ago, where they installed the Sherrill Act to say that we don't have owner.
That's being pressured to be reversed by a lot of churches and a lot of countries and a lot of
Yeah, I'm having a hard time hearing you.
What is this?
So it's the resolution, the way it is calling for the county and the city to acknowledge that what has been done to the indigenous people is still wrong, and it still goes on. It happens in Standing Rock. It happens in Canada. It happens all over the place where extraction industries are using that to take our resources that we have to protect and saying that it's okay to commit genocide. Genocide is continuing today in South America, where they're killing the leaders of the tribes for the oil and gas. And this process is something that needs to be remedied. And just having this statement and this day to honor that idea that we realize that we've been living at the top of the pyramid on top of everybody else. That's what this Indigenous Day to me and to our nation means. We need to look after those seven generations, we call them, and make sure that they have the same water, same air, same land to live on, the same process of growing food. And so that's why we changed and added to those words, because occupy and ownership are
very different.
How we've been treated. We personally, you can't get credit until you're recognized by another non-Indian person when you're starting to come up. You're not considered a person legally until things are spoken for you. And I've learned that in experience. So it still affects us.
Can I ask you a question, though?
Mm-hmm.
So let's concede that the tribe, the Cayuga Nation, owned the land. Didn't the Cayuga Nation, since it sided with the British in the Revolutionary War, lose ownership of that land? Whereas, like the Oneida Nation, which sided with the American side.
The Cayuga Nation declared neutrality.
Well, it had a pick
let's,
side.
Let's not get into the Indian land claims.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah. But
we kind of are delving into the Indian land claims, so that's kind of interesting.
But it's still listed as the northern part of Cayuga Lake is still listed as our land. By territory, by treaty. So that's something that we can't go around, you know. So whatever happened in the past, we're using our birthrights to come home. And that's been, you know, you say you're from the United States. If you have to go to Europe and live and can't come home, you know, it's the same thing.
Thank you, Mr. Hill. We appreciate your comments
thank
tonight.
You.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right. Here, where are we? We have now on the.
Go ahead, Anna.
I just wanted to note that those small few word changes were requested by the Indigenous Peoples community, and that was actually requested specifically by Dan. To dishonor that, I think, is a profound statement, and I really hope that we don't do that, and I really hope we don't send this back to committee for that. I think that we just heard something very profound, and we can heal something now. So,
Anna, you weren't called on.
I was.
You
I was,
weren't called on. I'm sorry. Jim's motion, I took him out of order because I had a request to do that.
Mike, I'm sorry that I mistook you.
Anna, you're out of order. Jim, your motion to refer back to committee is on the floor. I think that's – is that debatable, John?
Yeah, motion.
All right, we can debate that. Martha.
I know it's really late, but I'd like to try to get through this and vote on it tonight. I really would. I think we might be able to. So I would vote against the motion to refer.
All right. Let's go down the line. Go ahead, Rich.
Certainly, this is a resolution that has great meaning for many of the people on the legislature, and we want to do this correctly. I hear the difference between the word occupied and owned, and sitting here as a lawyer that's done hundreds of closings on the sale of property, it does seem like we're creating a cloud on title. I don't think we intend that.
A what?
A cloud on title. I'm sorry to talk like a lawyer, but there's a whole body of law about what is ownership, and we're saying somebody else owns the land. I don't think we intend that. I don't think we're saying that the houses we all go home to after this meeting aren't owned.
No, we're not saying that.
But that's what the language is saying, and I think we have to be clear in our language. I don't think we intend to create a cloud on title, but we're saying that the indigenous peoples own the land. I don't know enough about the doctrine of discovery. I need to read about that, I guess. But I also would like us to consider Dooley's amendments, given that there is a date that the world has agreed to for recognizing indigenous peoples. I understand there's a real push to do something right now, tonight, but I think that Jim's motion has some merit. Let's get it right.
Going down the line, Carol.
So if I would like to see us vote for this, and I would like to see us vote for it with the changes that that Native peoples are asking for, but I do recognize, I also believe that I've come to learn, reading about it and hearing from people like Joe Heath talk about Native lands and rights and the history of what was done, that in fact the myth that we all learned in school, that there was no ownership, is something that the people who came and conquered the lands needed to tell themselves, you know, because otherwise how do you take somebody else's land?
We're debating on whether to refer this back to committee.
Yes, and this I'm going to talk about why I don't think we should do that, but I'm also going to ask whether there's a compromise solution that I have in mind. So I do believe that ownership is probably the correct term, but I also recognize that that is something that probably will, at some point in the future, wend its way through courts up to the Supreme Court, and heaven help us have a court that will give it a fair hearing. But I am wondering, I understand why it might hold up Tompkins County recognizing the day as Indigenous Peoples Day if we try to resolve that issue tonight or even in the next few weeks. I do understand where people with the legal background are coming from, because conceding that point might mean that we could go home and somebody could say, well, this was actually my land. So I'm just wondering if there's another word other than occupied or owned that would serve, so that we could go ahead with this and then do a separate resolution about ownership should we want to go there. And it would be something like, have lived upon and counted upon and shepherded use of the land. So I guess I'm asking Dan if there's something like that.
So you're,
or even all three of those,
are you
that
in favor of or opposed to referring this back to committee?
I'm opposed to referring it back to committee, but if we could, but if I can ask the question of our guests,
you can ask
as
him,
to whether
but
that
we need to move the thing on the floor ahead. And it may get voted down, if you want to vote it down.
If there were friendly
If you want to then move some other amendments, you get to do that. Will Burbank, did you want to speak?
Can I get just a yes or a no as to whether there's wording like that that might serve? Could I ask our guest for that?
Well, you're apparently going to. Go ahead.
Well, I'll either go over and do it myself, or I think other people might want to hear the answer. If the answer is no, I will still vote for making the change.
The reason there's treaties is because they had to make agreements with us to own what lands they took in the treaties. So even now, Cayuga land up on top of the lake, when you buy a deed, it still says Cayuga land because it's still recognized as our territory through the Treaty of Canandaigua. So we did own the land.
So if we're going to do something, you only want us to do it if we use that wording, or is there other wording
because
like lived upon, counted upon, and shepherded?
It puts us back in time to where the Doctrine of the Discovery says we no longer exist. We don't exist as human beings.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, let's go to Leslin on whether to refer back to committee.
Really? Mr. Chair, I would really hope that we can vote on something tonight and not send this back to committee.
Okay.
Thank you.
Glenn? Anna?
I just wanted to ask the legal question of Jonathan specifically. If we use this word in this resolution simply to acknowledge them on this day, would this have any significant legal ramifications of using the word owned versus occupied here in any way?
I can't say that for sure. I mean, you know, this body doesn't really have any power to determine who owns land or not. On the other hand, if you were arguing about your house and somebody could say, well, you who just passed this resolution which says it's owned by somebody else. So, you know, from a legal standpoint, you really can't change ownership. But certainly you could be in the position where you've passed a resolution saying that somebody else owns it. I mean, obviously that's not what technically you're meaning, but...
So clarification, if it said had owned?
I had owned, so it would certainly be... We would not create a cloud on title that Rich is...
So that would address that?
Okay. Jim, did you want to speak again? You already brought for it. Go ahead, Mike.
I'll be quick, Mike. I am wholly unprepared to weigh into the Cayuga Indian Nation land claim that has been literally going on for a century and a half. And we can say that this doesn't do that, but we literally have been talking about it for the last hour. And I don't want to have Chief Sam George come down here and tell me all the nuances of what's going on. And then I don't want to have to call up the other side of the Cayuga Indian Nation, which they've been at battle for the last...
Year and a half,
about who is actually running the nation. So there's a lot involved here, and if this one word is going to shoot this down, can we just go with the thing that we passed out of committee? It seemed pretty good to me. If you want to change that one word like Anna just suggested or like Carol suggested, I mean, that would be great. But it seems like we're going down this path that I'm like, I was all ready to vote for this thing, so which seemed like a pretty good compromise from your...
Can I make an amendment to what I was saying?
No, we've still got this on the floor. Let's finish. Anyone else want to speak to the issue of whether or not to refer this back to committee? Dooley?
I would very much like to be able to address what I proposed, but in the interest of dealing with our executive session tonight, I would be happy to refer it back to committee.
Yes, Carol, very short.
Can I try one last time? How about taking out the word have?
No, we're talking
known
about,
as the Americas.
We're talking about referring it back to committee.
Well, if we can... No, we can't try...
Don't support it.
Well, I could not support it, but I want to have the votes to actually pass something tonight. So if we can talk about how Native peoples owned and occupied these lands prior to the arrival of Europeans, you know, then we got both words in there, and we just take out the word have. But
okay, I'm going to call for a vote on whether to refer this back to committee or not. All those in favor of referring it back to committee, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All those opposed? 1, 2, 3. I'm missing somebody.
Anna didn't vote.
4 opposed. So that is referred back to committee, and we'll see it again, I'm sure. All right, now.
Well, I'm very disappointed in that.
Well, I'm sorry. Yeah.
I don't know what people are so afraid of, but I get it.
I think here's where we are in the meeting. We've had no reports. We're due for an executive session. The person that is here for that executive session has been waiting an hour. And I'd like to suggest that we eliminate all the reports unless there's anything vital that we need to know about. Joe has already communicated to me that he's willing to postpone the capital program report. Martha?
Can I just add a comment and a question? And we have the minutes, too, right? Can we do the minutes?
Yeah, but okay.
All right. I wanted to make it clear this is a consent agenda item that the 5-year lease agreement for the Tompkins County Office of Human Rights included the installation of a handicapped accessible entrance door by the building owner that's in the new lease. And I know that had in the past been an issue, and it sounds like that our administration negotiated that, and the owner's going to pay for it. I think that's great. And then before we meet next, I got a letter that there's a presentation for TCAT, August 31st, 4 to 6, of the budget, their TCAT's operating budget. We were not told at all for that date. I understand you got the city and Cornell to deal with. I cannot be there, so I don't know if other people are coming, but this has happened, I think, maybe every year where they don't even give us any choice whatsoever about the dates for a very important meeting. So I'm sorry that it's happened, and I hope other people will be able to go.
Okay.
So I don't know if if the hope is going to be covered, right? Okay.
Yes, Carol.
Are we going to be – I'm sorry if I missed this. I'm so tired. Are we going to be coming back out and hearing the capital budget, or we're putting that off?
No, it's gone too long. A debate on too many resolutions has gone too long, plus privilege of the floor. So I'm going to take the minutes. Someone want to move those? Moved by Dan, seconded by Glenn. Discussion? All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? There's one opposed. Any unfinished business? We'll take a motion to go into executive session to discuss a personnel matter about a particular person. We expect to come out of this and adjourn. We don't expect you to take action at that point. Have a motion from whom? Dooley, seconded by David. All in favor of executive session, please raise your hand. All right, let's shut down and see if we can get into the executive session.
You ended streaming.